Welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us on this beautiful Monday morning. A lot going on over here, so we're excited that you're joining us today. So much to dive into. It's been an interesting weekend if you've been following the news. If you haven't been, though, we'll catch you up. We'll get you fully caught up because, folks, we got some very unfortunate news late Friday evening. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene has decided that she's going to resign from Congress. And man, oh man, is that a massive, massive loss. And I'll detail exactly that in just a bit. But we got our eyes on the White House today because at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, President Trump is expected to sign an executive order. Now, we expect that could possibly be related to the Muslim Brotherhood being designated as a foreign terrorist organization. We'll have to wait and see specifically, but we know that President Trump spoke about that with Just the News over the weekend, saying that that was one of his goals, was to create that designation for the Muslim Brotherhood. We'll see where that goes. It would be nice to have an executive order for it to be done legislatively, so that if another Democrat makes his way into the White House, they would have to stick with it. But of course, executive orders are good, but they're not great. They're not great. So we'll keep our eye on that. Also, we're keeping our eye on the White House because the First Lady is expected to welcome in the official 2025 White House Christmas tree. Now, that's expected to happen today at 12 p.m. Eastern time. So we'll keep our eye on that, of course. Obviously, with Melania Trump back in the White House, you could expect it to be a beautiful, beautiful Christmas at the White House. The last 4 years have not been so beautiful. You remember the former alleged First Lady, Jill Biden, she had like a demonic Christmas theme that she decided to impose on the American people. And it's become less of a normal tradition at the White House. I mean, look at this. It's not even good dancing. It's not even quality dancing, quality theater. It was just an absolute disgrace. So you can imagine that Melania Trump's going to have something more classier up her sleeve. We look forward to seeing just that. I also wanted to bring your attention to a report that happened over the weekend. You may have seen it. We actually covered it here on this show, I believe, on Friday. MSNBC was reporting that the special prosecutor's office was going after, well, that's just to say, the DOJ was going after Ed Martin. Now, I've spoken to Ed Martin. We got the latest on that, and I look forward to bringing that to you in just a bit as well. Ed Martin debunking the lies, claiming that he is not being prosecuted by the DOJ, being investigated, to say the least. I'll bring you the latest on that report as well. Plus, you know, Democrats are being forced to admit that they lied. And it's something that they rarely get confronted with when they hit up the mainstream media to do these interviews. Yesterday was pretty enlightening, though. Pretty enlightening. So many Democrats were dragged in front of the cameras and embarrassed because they were absolute morons. And so we'll bring you the latest and all the sound bites, of course, from that. Plus, Dearborn, Michigan, all of the Islamic Muslims that have moved in over there, well, they're being called out, specifically the Somalians, for just being a bunch of fraudsters. We've got the latest on all of that. It's been going on for many, many years. We'll walk you through how long it's been, because it's been going on literally since the early 2000s, and nobody wanted to call it out. Of course, you don't want to be called a bigot. But on top of all of that, the mayor of Dearborn, who we've covered extensively on this show, is now telling moms that he's going to pay them up to $4,500 for every child they have starting November 1st. And it's insane given the fact that they are obviously doing this so that the Muslim population that's moved in could outbreed the rest of us. And now they're incentivizing it by paying them nearly $5,000 for each child that they were probably going to have in the first place, because they understand the war that they're up against. They understand what their mission is. We'll play the clip for you as well. There's a lot to dive into today. Tyson Foods is also in the headlines today because they're reducing one of their plants, closing one of their plants down. Now, if you recall, Tyson Foods was one of the many food processors, meat processors, that was accused of using illegal aliens for cheap labor. Now, they denied those claims. I'll bring you the latest, though, and how all of it's related, of course, in just a bit, so you're not going to want to go anywhere. Also, we'll have Susan Crabtree on the show later today. She's going to be reacting to the FBI's attempt to debunk my report on Thomas Crook. So a lot to dive into today. Don't go anywhere. We got more on the American Journal happening in just a few moments.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I am not funded by millionaires. I'm not funded by anybody but you. And I am in the middle of a major deep state battle with the globalists. We have shortfalls, and we need your support. So just go get a T-shirt, go get a ball cap, get the ultramethylene blue, get the Irish sea moss. And so you just commit to support us. Sign up for AutoShip, get 50% off. You can cancel any time. It's not like a full commitment like you marry somebody. You can just subscribe to it or order it once. When you get it and love it, go subscribe. And then cancel any time for free. But that way you get it every month or every 2 months, however you set it. And then you, you know, just boom, 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 you support us. That way you don't have to worry about it each time. I need people to commit to this fight like 1/100th what I've committed. I'm not bitching, but we're changing the world.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning. Welcome to The American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us on this beautiful Monday morning. We're trying to catch you up to speed on everything that happened over the weekend, so buckle down. Because there's a lot to go through. You may have seen it. It feels like it's a MAGA civil war going on right now. And I didn't want to do the divisive angle in all of this. But the reality of it is things are getting really heated up. And we just lost one of our top MAGA individuals in Congress. Marjorie Taylor Greene announcing that she will not be running for re-election, that she's actually resigning. Now, that's devastating news, of course. We're going to dive into that in just a bit. Because there's a lot to go through there. The president of the United States not backing down and continuously calling her a traitor. But is she really? Well, I'll detail all that in a little bit for you guys, as well as we're following what's going on in the White House right now. At 12 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, the First Lady is expected to welcome in the official 2025 White House Christmas tree. I'm sure she's going to do a better job than the last First Lady, so look forward to seeing that. Plus, we're also got our eyes on the Oval Office, because at 4 p.m. Eastern Time today, the president is expected to sign an executive order. Now, we can probably expect it to be something related to the Muslim Brotherhood. I'll detail the story for you in a bit as well, but just the news came out with a report stating that, well, that Muslim Brotherhood is going to be designated as a terrorist organization, which is great, which is great. But again, you want that pushed through as legislation, not an executive order, because if the next administration happens to be a Democrat, then everything goes and wipes away. Not exactly what you want. Plus, I'm going to be responding to the FBI's attempt to debunk my report, Miranda Devine's report, and Tucker Carlson's report, because I guess they didn't realize we had receipts. We've got a lot of receipts. And I look forward to bringing you that in just a bit as well. But I wanted to kick things off today with discussing the civil war that's going on right now. And I really tried my very best to avoid all of this because I didn't want the MAGA base to be divided. That was the goal here. The left wanted MAGA to be divided. The globalists want it. Everyone wants it divided because it was such a strong, strong base. But now it's fractured and there's no other way to go about this. Right now, people are just giving up. They're giving up. There seems to be a tone deaf tone coming from the White House right now. You know, sadly, they don't hear the will of the American people. The American people are not in line with what's coming out of the White House right now. And what I saw yesterday from President Trump's Truth Social account proves just that. Take a look at this post. It was kind of insane. And I know a lot of you, when I shared it on X, were pretty enraged by it. President Trump coming out and saying that the Republican Party has never been more united as it is right now. And then he throws jabs at people like Rand Paul Jr., which he's referring to Thomas Massie, Marjorie Taylor Greene. I'm not going to go with the nickname because I think it's actually disrespectful. And a couple of other lowlives. Now, this is the problem I have with all of this. What does this message do? When you put out a post like this, it creates this new fear, which I probably think many did have already, but they won't be speaking out. Republicans will not be speaking out against President Trump because what they just saw him do to Marjorie Taylor Greene, one of his largest, most vocal advocates, they're dodging a bullet. They're not going to go head to head with President Trump. They're going to just be yes folks. Because Marjorie Taylor Greene is someone who most of us probably agree with her about 98% of the time. Then there was that Epstein stuff that President Trump didn't really like. And then his entire relationship was tossed out the front door. Now, according to him, he was just not happy with the phone calls, not happy with their political takes recently. But he threw her under the bus. There's no other way to look at this. And I tried my very best. You know, I tried to sit back and not to have a divisive tone because I didn't want it to turn to this big, big issue. Hopefully there was a way for the two of them to kind of figure things out and get back on the right path. But it looks like it's all gone. And President Trump, knowing that Marjorie Taylor Greene has officially resigned and she's going to be walking out in January from serving in Congress, isn't toning it down anytime soon. Let's listen to the clip that Marjorie Taylor Greene, it's a very long soundbite, so we cut it down a little bit here in clip one for you. I want you to listen to specifically what the Congresswoman is saying as to why she decided to resign. Take a listen.
My only goal and desire has ever been to hold the Republican Party accountable for the promises it makes to the American people and put America first. And I have fought against Democrats' damaging policies like the Green New Deal, wide-open, deadly, unsafe border policies, and the trans agenda on children and against women. With that has brought years of nonstop, never-ending personal attacks, death threats, lawfare, ridiculous slander and lies about me that most people could never withstand even for a single day. It has been unfair and wrong, not only to me, but especially to my family, but it's been wrong to my district as well. I have too much self-respect and dignity. I love my family way too much. And I do not want my sweet district to have to endure a hurtful and hateful primary against me by the president that we all fought for, only to fight and win my election while Republicans will likely lose the midterms, and in turn be expected to defend the president against impeachment after he hatefully dumped tens of millions of dollars against me and tried to destroy me. It's all so absurd and completely unserious. I refuse to be a battered wife, hoping it all goes away and gets better. If I am cast aside by the president and the MAGA political machine and replaced by neocons, big pharma, big tech, military-industrial war complex, foreign leaders, and the elite donor class that can never, ever relate to real Americans, then many common Americans have been cast aside and replaced as well. There is no plan to save the world or a 4D chess game being played. Until then, I'm going back to the people that I love, to live my life to the fullest as I always have, and I look forward to a new path ahead. I'll be resigning from office with my last day being January 5th, 2026, and I look forward to seeing many of you again sometime in the future. May God bless you all, and may God bless America.
Marjorie Taylor Greene is a patriot, and she fought very aggressively and tried to push back. If she's throwing in the towel, then, folks, what are we doing here? I want to highlight one of the key points that she made there, and it was in her resignation letter as well. There's no plan to save the world or insane 4D chess game being played. Again, folks, time and time again, when we're scratching our heads wondering what the heck is going on in the White House, most people respond to me and just say, Brianna, this is 4D chess. The president's got it. Marjorie Taylor Greene, the loudest advocate for President Trump, coming out and telling you there is no deeper plan to save this country. What more do we need to see? We were all just a couple of weeks ago scratching our head wondering, why is there an Al-Qaeda terrorist being led into the White House? Most of us had no idea what the cause for that was, and everyone kept saying 4D chess, Brianna. Here we are. And it looks like that's not the case. President Trump responded. We're going to play clip two for you because he's responding to Marjorie Taylor Greene's resignation. Take a listen.
Are you willing to forgive Congresswoman Taylor Greene?
Forgive for what? No, I just disagreed with her philosophy. She started backing perhaps the worst Republican congressman in our history, just stupid person named Massey. And I said, go your own way. And once I left her, she resigned because she would never have survived the primary. But I think she's a nice person.
Thomas Massie is not an idiot. Thomas Massie is actually a good person who follows his moral compass. And although I have disagreed with him on some political stances he's taken over the years, I would never, in my millions of years of experience in all of this, sarcastically saying that, of course, would question his level of intelligence. I do think that he is someone who dearly and deeply loves this country, and to sit there and to continuously go after him, I think, is an absolute disgrace. I also think it's a disgrace to continue to target Marjorie Taylor Greene. You don't have to like the woman. You don't have to like, maybe you question her stock portfolio. Maybe you question her last minute decision to back those Epstein victims. And it wasn't really last minute decision. I probably should correct that. Her last minute continuous efforts to back the Epstein victims, because the reality is there was a pure pressure campaign being led by the White House for those Republicans involved in making sure that this all came out. They were trying to back them away from all of it, and she didn't back away. She didn't back away from it. Because, folks, regardless of political lines, we should always back sexual assault survivors, real sexual assault survivors. And those who are victims of Jeffrey Epstein should have their day of justice. That is something that we should all support. Now, I don't think it's okay that Democrats all of a sudden started pushing for this when President Trump made his way into the White House, but he laid out a campaign promise. And so the rest of us just wanted to make sure that he was carrying that all the way through. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand Democrats definitely use this for political gain. We consistently called it out here on this show. But the harsh reality is Marjorie Taylor Greene is not the enemy, neither is Thomas Massie. Those are two people who are independent thinkers. And are motivated based on their moral compass. Not many people in D.C. even know what that means. You see, so many of us on the outside continue to criticize those in the swamp. And we do so because, well, let's be honest, you have to be a little crazy to run for office these days. They will destroy your life. Marjorie Taylor Greene is proof of that. You see, it wasn't about her political stances when they were attacking her. They were attacking her personal life. Saw plastered everywhere. Her personal sex life was put on blast. Allegations that, regardless of they're true or false, they threw him out there to embarrass her. The woman's got kids. They didn't care about that. They continuously went after her for her personal life. Something we try to stray away from because, folks, that doesn't have any type of direct correlation with how your policies come together. But because she was an avid supporter of President Trump's, they really launched an attack on her, and she stuck it out. I think it's an absolute disgrace that we sit back and we watch what's happening now. We pretend like this is okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. And when I first started watching what was going on, I did put out a tweet saying, you know, let's not be so divisive. I think that's all I really did on that front because I didn't want to blackpill the country. But the fact that we were not able to somehow get over this little hurdle and have some form of unity is really an absolute disgrace. Marjorie Taylor Greene was never the enemy. She was never the enemy. She was never the enemy. Thomas Massie is not the enemy either. Now, although Thomas Massie has done things, I can understand why we took off the White House. If you stop going after him, I bet you no one would pay attention to it. But because the White House is now getting this feud with him, very public feud, everyone's talking about it. Now he's getting put on CNN all the time. The president knows how to create these celebrities. He knows how to get people into the limelight. That's exactly what he did with Thomas Massie. You see, Thomas Massie, again, someone who I highly respect. Don't have to agree with him all the time on things. But I don't wish ill on him. And I like a challenge. I like when Marjorie Taylor Greene challenges the president. You see, most people that surround President Trump are just yes folks. They don't challenge anything. And wrong information could be put in front of him and he would have no idea because he's got a lot on his plate. So women like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who are an ally, a true ally, come forward and they question some things. And I guess he doesn't like it. Keep in mind, folks, we had Marjorie Taylor Greene on this show, the great congresswoman from Georgia. We had her on this show. And let me tell you something. She said something that caught a lot of people's attention. You know what it was? She was one of the very first people to push for the filibuster just to be eliminated. Nuke it. Done. I didn't push back on her. I let her say what she wanted to say because that's how she felt. Well, that clip went viral and the Daily Beast made it a feud, of course. They took it and they said she's going after President Trump, which was not what she did. She simply was going out there and just expressing her opinion to not work with Democrats because we don't need them. Now, that was an angle the president wasn't discussing previously. So MTG got up there and she spoke about this on this show. And what happened a couple weeks later? Well, obviously the mainstream media went and they tried to pin it as a feud. And sadly, it looks like President Trump took the bait. But he also then started advocating to end the filibuster. Because people like MTG push the needle. I'm sure whenever she was reaching out to the president, it was probably with the best intentions to make sure that those surrounding her, him, the president of the United States, are not the ones dictating policy, because a lot of these people have their own personal interests. We saw it under the first term. We knew there were people that were selling out behind the scenes. So watching the attack that's been launched against MTG has been really just devastating. And there's a lot of people looking to pile up on all of this. You know, in our very brief, it was my first interview I've ever done with her. We talked before we started the interview, and she seemed like a very lovely woman. I think there's a lack of understanding that although you might see a soundbite, you might see people on TV that they're real people. And so everyone has kind of jumped up on her and piled up on her because the president of the United States did just that. A lot of people, though, really looked at this and said, wait a minute, why is he going after her? This is really, really strange. But the problem is, and we see this all the time on social media, if you dare to question what's going on in the White House right now, they pile up on you as well. Doesn't matter if you voted for this man. Doesn't matter if you advocated for him throughout the campaign. They are not happy if you push back. And so what we have right now is we have a group of people who have completely, alienated another side of this movement. And now we've got two different sides here. One that questions absolutely nothing and just nods their head and says everything is amazing. And if you dare speak out about it, they will go after you personally. They will try to destroy you. A lot of these people are basement creatures, ones who don't even interact with others who have tried their very best to make political change, who actually work in D.C. They have no idea who these people are because they live in a different universe on social media. That's why they're so nasty. So nasty. You know, it's very public. I'll give you an example. It was very public with one of the reports that I put out there. Cat Turd at first was the one main one who sat there and backed my report and quote tweeted it. But then I guess he got a phone call and then quickly went after me personally. Now, little did he know that I actually spoke to sources who were in the courtroom for all of this. And of course, he didn't side with the administration and instead said that the administration was taking their knee to an argument, legal argument. It was a long story about it, but ultimately he attacked me for this and he has my phone number. But instead of calling me like he's done in the past before to jump on a phone call with me, he publicly tried to bash me. Now, that didn't work out well. I obviously told you guys publicly on Twitter that I was going to pray for him, then privately left him a voice message. Because this is the problem with people. And this isn't the first time he did that to me. This is the problem. We have people who just live within their homes. They don't interact with other people. And so they just have this echo chamber in their head and they don't have a sense of reality. We are all human beings, and if you don't agree with something that someone says, guess what? You don't have to go after them. You don't have to attack. And maybe it's because I'm a female that I'm a little bit more sensitive and a little bit more compassionate when it comes to all of that. Yeah, it's probably the case. But the reality of it is it's attack mode where you just attack your own. It doesn't happen on the left. The left will do and conduct the most ridiculous things, and you actually never see them attack one another. Never. I don't even know of a feud that happens on the left, that's happened between high-profile people on the right. Why? Because they stick with their own. They don't have to agree with you, but they won't drag you out publicly. That's the difference. The difference is those who are just so obsessed with funding, making their own money. You guys are great. This is the one. The tweet with Cat Turd. He didn't like this report. This had to do with D.C. police and who was controlling D.C. police. And by the way, I did speak with a DOJ source, and again, they weren't even able to say that President Trump has direct control over the police when I spoke with them. It's one of the many issues we have here. Now, there's this effort to pin us up against each other. And a lot of people are putting information out there that's false. I want you to take a listen to clip three, because RT put out a video and they made it seem like Alex Jones was coming out and saying that he might possibly no longer support President Trump. They made it seem like this was in regards to MTG. Now, a lot of you wrote me and said, is this AI? Is this real? Watch the video that they put out at first and how they've angled it to make it sound like Alex is speaking about Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene.
And I'm just going to say it point blank. I'm not a bandwagon person. I don't pile on when other people are doing something. But I know MTG well. She's a woman of incredible integrity, brought up being poor, self-made, very successful construction company, woman of great integrity. She announced last night that she is resigning. I predicted on the Tuesday broadcast. She didn't tell me this, but I talked to her at length. And it sounded to me like she was thrown in the towel just because she can't be part of something that's, quote, a lesser of two evils. And she's very popular in her district, wins by some of the widest margins of anyone in Congress. And we'll play her statement here in a moment, but that ties into all of this. But I'm not saying this because of what she just did. I'm going to have to reflect on this, and I'm going to have to pray about it, and I'm going to take a few weeks on it, I think, is the most important thing to do. But I'm not a person that is normally conflicted. I have a lot of knowledge, a lot of depth, a lot of sources, a lot of context. And when I do get conflicted on something, I just have to go to God with it and pray about it a lot. And then go to that place that King David talked about, the quiet place, the Most High. And then I'm going to make my decision. And I mean, if God tells me tonight, I'll make my decision. But I am seriously inches away from not supporting Trump anymore. Because I am not going to watch him commit political suicide.
Now, listen, folks, that video was apparently edited in a way to make it seem like he was referring to the Marjorie Taylor Greene saga. But unfortunately, that's not the case. Well, fortunately, that's the case, I guess I should say. Ultimately, folks, I want you to hear this out. I spoke with Alex. A lot of you did reach out to me on X asking if this is an AI-generated video and appears to be not AI-generated but intentionally edited to be misleading. So I reached out to Alex over the weekend to ask him just that, and this morning he sent me back this video. Take a listen.
I've gotten a lot of phone calls and text messages in the last 24 hours asking if a video that RT posted, an edit of my special Saturday live show I did, was AI. The answer is no. And I'm not saying RT's being deceptive, but it is a quick clip. It didn't have the context where I explained that if Trump lets Todd Blanche and other people that we know are globalist deep staters and Democrats do things like prosecute Ed Martin and others that are investigating the people that tried to put Trump in prison and try to destroy America, that Trump's committing political suicide if that happens, and I'll have to withdraw support because I'm not going to aid and abet him in his own destruction and America's own destruction. So that's what I said in the larger, longer breakdown, but it is a wake-up call to everybody. A lot of people are upset about what's going on because we don't want to repeat what happened 8 years ago where the deep state just comes in and cuts us off the knees. Trump's doing a lot better job this go-around. People are a lot more awake. I'm not throwing baby out with the bathwater, but if he did do something like that was reported by ABC News and everything else, now Ed Martin says it's not accurate, so I believe him. So we hope Todd Blanche isn't as bad as people are saying. But I was simply saying, if Trump let Todd Blanche do something like that or others, that's my line in the sand. So that was what I said. That's the context. I think you have to all agree.
So you were just telling me that you had a brain disease.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking. Kennedy literally gobbles.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I was in a wheelchair. That methylene blue, I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it. And boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It is a miracle. It's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
I used to have to take, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day
right. And
pay what? I don't know, $30, $40 a bottle of it?
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
I'm not paid to say this, not one dime. This is the best product you guys have ever had. You guys got to order it at the AlexJonesStore.com.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene blue works for me.
I feel it in my head and neck too. My brain's going really fast. I really like it.
Unlimited fabulous power!
Volunteer power!
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
I do feel like it's eliminated the brain fog a lot.
I do subscribe to the methylene blue. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the methylene blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
I'm jacked up on the methylene blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had. Please go to the Alex Jones. Store.com.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at the AlexJonesStore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. It's been a good one so far, folks. We covered the drama that's been unraveling between MTG and President Donald Trump. And then we kind of gave you a little exclusive nugget there with a video from none other than Alex Jones, who I had to ask over the weekend, specifically actually this morning, we got a video back from him about something that was posted on RT on Twitter. It was catching a lot of steam, and it was a video that he says was edited to make it seem like he was potentially looking between the MTG saga to dump Trump. And he says it's not true, but he also told me that it has to do with the Ed Martin issue. Now, we reported on this show, you might remember, MSNBC came out with a report, and they're calling themselves like MS Now. They're trying to rebrand themselves because they've been so badly tarnished their reputation because they've been fake news from day one. Well, it's not going well for them as they just begin to launch their new rebranding. There's another story that's being quickly debunked as fake news. It has to do with my buddy Ed Martin. Ed Martin, obviously, is the individual running the weaponization division over at the DOJ. He is also President Trump's pardon attorney. Well, there was a report that came out that said pretty much that he was under investigation based on the prosecution, the potential prosecution of Adam Schiff and others for mortgage fraud, Tish James as well. Now, this was something that Jen Psaki and others over at the network pushed. they really leaned into significantly hard without any real evidence. So I sat back and watched, let it play out a bit. I was like, all right, let's just check in on Ed to see how he's doing. Ed pretty much coming out saying, I'm good. It's fake news. It's fake news. And so we let MSNBC have a little day out there of throwing out all these headlines, lying to their audience, and then quickly debunked, very, very quickly debunked. Ed Martin apparently is not under investigation. But they made it seem intentionally like he was somehow, some way under investigation for potential what leaks about the mortgage fraud investigations between Tish James and obviously Adam Schiff. So Ed Martin is in the clear. I reported that to you on X over the weekend as well. But it's something that they're trying to do. Again, the media is trying their very best to divide the base. It just doesn't even make any sense when you think about it. Why would the DOJ, I know that we have questions about Todd Blanche, and don't get me wrong, you're right. There's a lot of things to question Todd Blanche on. I've reported about those extensively. But why would the DOJ investigate Ed Martin? Are they going to look into potential claims that might be made by the defense when those charges do get filed? Absolutely. But a full-on investigation is nonsense. But they have something to sell you on. They are trying their very best to sell you on this lie that Ed Martin is somehow, some way at risk. They've done it day one. You know why? Because Ed Martin's a fighter. Ed Martin is the real deal. Very few people of the DOJ do I authentically trust, and it's Ed Martin. They know Ed Martin has nothing to lose. He doesn't care about anything besides justice, getting back at all of these people that decided to target the American people and the President of the United States. So the attack is on. They constantly are trying to throw Ed Martin's name out there to stir up some controversy. Well, I'm here to tell you that they've put out another report and it was false. And again, we hear that directly from the person they allege is involved. So again, we caught the mainstream media lying. That's no surprise. That's no surprise. That's why you can't take the bait initially. Now, I'll always report on what they're saying because I think it's important for you at home to understand what the mainstream media is doing so that if you ever get into a little debate, you have both sides of the argument. Because so many people in the mainstream media don't do that. They give you one side of the argument and they don't give you both sides. But MSNBC caught yet again in another lie, a massive, massive lie. And while we're on the topic of lies, we'll just keep going. As many of you guys know, I just released a report regarding Thomas Crooks. I was one of three journalists to get my hands on a document that outlined the alleged social media accounts that belonged to Thomas Crooks. Now, according to my own reporting, I've included screenshots so you, the people, can see what I'm referring to. Now, I didn't disclose all the screenshots, and of course, there's a reason for that. Listen, I sat back and watched Tucker Carlson had the exclusive first. And Tucker said he reached out to the FBI for comment regarding the YouTube comments that were left behind by Crooks. And the FBI responded by saying, how do you know those were really Thomas Crooks' YouTube comments? Now, obviously, we know they were. I fact-checked it, hired people to help me out, fact-check all of this, and it has come back in the clear. So we forced the FBI's hand. For months, we didn't hear anything about Crooks. And because Tucker released it first, pushed back publicly, and the rest of us all went through the documents, both myself and Miranda Devine, now all of a sudden, guess what? Oh, right, he might have had like maybe 15 accounts. Come on. We're trying to be transparent here. That was the statement that was put out by the FBI director himself, finally admitting that there were accounts. Now, don't get me wrong. I know he wasn't the one that denied it from the very beginning. It was the former FBI. But again, he's had time to respond before even Tucker released his report. Tucker reached out and he didn't respond. I reached out and they didn't respond. Now, I specifically reached out because I was told by my source that the information was supposedly handed over to the FBI and they just wanted no involvement in the document that I received. I don't know why that's the case. But I asked, And I always ask before I release something because I want everyone to have their perspective displayed on a report before I release it. I'm not one of those gotcha people. Here's the facts, even if they dispute my claims. And it's interesting because there was also, I did a story earlier this year with another three-letter agency. And I physically had a copy of the email that they told me in their response was not true. And I still published their response knowing that they were lying to me in their response. Now later, that same agency told me, we can't give you this information, Brianna. It's a security issue. I can't confirm any of this. So keep in mind, when an agency responds, I always include it. But then I'll tell you why they're lying. Well, again, after both myself, Tucker Carlson, and Miranda Devine released what we found in this document, and there's more coming, by the way, the FBI didn't reach out to any of us to talk to us. We tried opening up the avenues of communication. Unfortunately, they didn't feel compelled to do the same. Now, what does this mean? Well, this means if you're trying to push out your own narrative, you don't go to the people who are reporting on this who have reached out to you prior to releasing the report. No. In the art of full transparency, you go to Fox News where they don't push back on a damn thing. And it's exactly what they did here. And no disrespect to the main reporter here, because I get it. I worked in corporate media. I know how this goes. Kudos to her for getting it. I wouldn't pass this up. But you got to push back. In this release that they handed over to Fox, the title of it is Correcting False Media Reporting on Thomas Crooks. So this is the agency saying that my reporting, Miranda Devine's reporting, Tucker Carlson's reporting is false, even though they had the opportunity to correct it before we released it, and they chose not to. Now, again, I emailed them and still have that email. I've reached out to them in other ways. They don't want to talk about it. Now, specifically, what we're going to call out here is their claim that there was no, and it's a very key word, direct communication between an individual named Willie Tepes and Thomas Crooks. Now, I want you to understand something real quick. I know Tucker outlines him to be an individual with potential ties to Antifa. It looks more, though, potentially neo-Nazi. But again, I don't know. I haven't spoken to him. I do hear another reporter has received communication from him. Hopefully we get some type of verification on all of this. But this is the problem. This is the problem. You know what the problem is? They include certain screenshots. And these screenshots are very interesting because they only show Willie responding, it looks like, to Crooks. But here's the problem. The YouTube, once something like this happens, they take down these accounts. Whenever there's a mass shooting or an incident like this, they take the accounts down. So you are just really going off of archives at this point. Obviously, that has to do with the law of transparency these days. But I want you to see what I found specifically. I have the screenshots that show that Thomas Crooks was in fact responding to Willie. And so when we sit back and we talk about these things, it's interesting because it's not just me that has it. Miranda Devine has two. I put out one. Miranda Devine has two times where he did reach out. So whether the FBI decides to define direct communication as maybe these two communicating through the comment section, I guess they don't count that. But here's my thing. I actually don't even think that they are intentionally lying to us, leadership over at the FBI. I'll get to that in a moment. But I want to point to you, because me and Miranda Devine are both going off on Friday. Here I wrote that the FBI is wrong. Here's one YouTube comment. This was my YouTube comment that I posted to push back. YouTube comment again, showing signs of violence. And that was sent to Willie. Now, it wasn't just that. Miranda Devine also had two that she posted as well. Now, they're also disputing the one account, DeviantArt account that we found listed and connected to him. Now, I'm not sure if we should disclose how we know that this was connected to him, or probably hold that one back for a little bit. But the FBI saying that they had no proof, that there's really no evidence that that belonged to him, and that he didn't go by the they, them pronouns. Again, if you respond when people reach out to you, you probably could have created more transparency, less confusion. But the FBI doesn't do that. In fact, they'll ignore us, and then they'll try to bash our report when we go public with it. We gave you the opportunity to clear the air. You decide not to take it up. You decide not to take it up. Now, whether leadership at the FBI knows that, I don't know. I can tell you one thing, though. It's very, very obvious to me that those, specifically, again, I'll keep saying it, I don't think Dan Bongino's a bad person. I think that the FBI deputy director is someone who went in with the best intentions, but I do think that the FBI's corruption is very, very deep. And if you wanted to possibly pick off one of the biggest podcasters, this is a golden opportunity for you to do just that. You give him information that's false, put him out there, and totally blow his credibility. Remember when he was teasing the Jeffrey Epstein footage, but then completely left out the fact there was missing footage in the footage that was released? Oh, Epstein killed himself. You're going to see the footage. It's very, very clear that he killed himself. And then there were several minutes that weren't included in the footage. Was that intentional? Because many people didn't listen to the follow through, and all of a sudden the footage was retrieved. Most people just didn't follow through with it. Didn't hear that side. We just knew that Dan Bongino told us that the footage was very, very clear. It was very obvious that Epstein did in fact kill himself. And then we found out that there was missing pieces of the footage that was clipped out. And so one must wonder, who vetted this and handed it off to the FBI deputy director? And you can't forget that hostage-looking video where it was Dan Bongino and Cash Patel with Maria Bartiromo sitting down, giving him an interview. Again, Fox gets all the interviews because, I mean, Maria Bartiromo, my former boss, great, great journalist. But folks, they continuously get these exclusives. They won't sit down with an independent journalist, somebody who might push back a bit. Having these discussions is healthy. You should be able to question those in leadership positions. In fact, when these two men were on the other side and were talking to the mic every day for their shows, for the podcast hits that they were doing, they were significantly more aggressive than anything I've ever put out there. So now they're probably not very happy with the rest of us who aren't really having their backs on all of this. And why? Well, because I'm not going to get caught lying to the American people. And I don't think that they're intentionally lying to the American people, but I think there are people behind the scenes that are intentionally trying to sabotage them. That is the only way I can make sense of this. The only way. So what do we have here? Well, now we have the Thomas Crooks back and forth. Who is lying and who's not lying? Well, I could tell you this. I've looked into what we have. I've had great individuals look into what we have. And I am told that they truly also believe that this is all authentic. Tucker Carlson's in the same, and so has Miranda Devine over at the New York Post. So whether or not those in leadership right now have received the same level of information, I don't know. But here's the thing. They have my number. They could reach out if they wanted to. If you wanted to clear the air, if they would have asked me for what we have, I would have given it to them because I know that the individual who gave it to us told us that they tried giving it to them. And so maybe there is someone behind the scenes who is intentionally trying to create this level of sabotage so that these two men look poorly. Like they're not doing their job. Like they're lying to the American people. I don't think that they're intentionally doing just that. It wouldn't make sense. Dan Bongino was making significantly more money, had a less stressful job, and was the number one podcaster in conservative media. You wouldn't walk away from that just to be a BS artist. So if they would have reached out, they wanted to have a conversation, if they wanted a copy of what we had, I would have happily handed it over to them so they could see for themselves. But they have tunnel vision. Any type of criticism is not welcomed anymore. And I've given my criticism privately prior to all of this. So it's a little disheartening to sit here and watch the FBI refer to my report, Miranda Devine's report, and Tucker Carlson's report as false media reporting. It's intentionally meant to be disrespectful. But you were given an avenue of having this discussion. I welcome these discussions because I'm not playing the gotcha game in the media world. In fact, I would win more points if I were to just go with the narrative. If I were just to be a cheerleader for this administration. How do I know that? Well, there's a certain group of people who are consistently getting exclusives, who are consistently getting things first. Why? Well, when the Epstein stuff was going on, these were the people that didn't offer any type of actual criticism. And then magically, a couple of days later, they all had exclusives that they were pumping out. That's not real journalism. That's not real journalism. And they could say what they want now. Dan Bongino has endorsed my work as a journalist prior to taking on this position, just days before taking on this position. And I still have a lot of respect for the man. He's up against a lot. But I think it's highly disrespectful when you sit there and you try to discredit our work by referring to the three individuals who probably spent a lot of money on vetting this before putting it out there as false media reporting. Well, there's more. This is just the beginning in all of this. And so if they want to just put out these bullet points with no clear explanation, then that's okay. But we've got more details and they're going to come out very shortly. And I understand this is an ongoing investigation. I understand that there's a lot of people involved in all of this who are still under investigation. We'll have more on that too. We know that this goes very, very deep, and it's very unfortunate what's going on right now, and it breaks my heart that we have to sit here and push back against people that we endorse. People that I literally sat there and said, it's cash or nothing on Twitter for like weeks. And how quickly things have changed. How quickly have things have changed. Again, I don't think either of them are bad men. But they're taking information from other people rather than going directly to us. We tried reaching out to you. You gave Tucker Carlson a wise-ass response. You didn't respond to me. I'm sure Miranda reached out as well. And Miranda's highly respected with members of this administration. She gets some of the best sit-down interviews with all the top officials. So why is it that she's coming out and saying that they're giving her a hard time at the FBI? It's okay to sit there and say, listen, it's an ongoing investigation. There's some things we can't talk about, but let's talk about what we can and then outline it for us. And by the way, we wouldn't have even known any of this if Tucker Carlson wasn't the first one to drop the bomb. It's not like they were trying to release this information. They only released this statement when their hands were forced. That's journalism. For all of you people out there who just nod your head and go, oh yeah, here we go. Let's just, whatever they're spoon feeding us, let's just regurgitate that. That's not journalism. You're not doing the people any service. When you sit here and Tucker Carlson, someone who's literally gone out with President Trump while he was campaigning, was there with him. He doesn't care about access. He's okay with losing access. He's going to put out reports that may question those in powerful, powerful positions. That's why, folks, you haven't seen me in the White House press pool. I'm not a loyalist to just one cause, one narrative. I'm going to dig and find out what the truth is on these issues. And I never go after people's personal lives. We always talk about what the actual business, political side of all of this is. We're not conducting nasty, unethical journalism, right? Like, this is not like a gossip website where I just kind of go after these people all day. It's just absolutely absurd. So what an absolute disgrace the FBI is for putting that statement out and trying to discredit us. An absolute disgrace. Miranda Devine, heavily credible. The cojones in that woman for putting out the Hunter Biden laptop story when I know, according to my sources, the New York Post didn't even want to release that. And Miranda Devine really being the only one to actually go out there and do it. Push for that. She's been one of the very few people that really don't care about the level of access. She's still going to put the truth out there, go through the facts. In fact, I know it took her days when she vetted all of that for her story, The Post. And that's good. That's journalism. So all the scumbags that are angry and upset about what we've done thus far, I don't know what to tell you. The document we received, I still haven't put out everything. I held back certain things because we're still vetting, obviously. And it's going to be a process. But there's way more coming out soon. Way more. It'd be great if they were to sit down with all of us and have a conversation. It wouldn't even have to be one that was publicly broadcast. If you want to sit down and go through what we have and compare it to what you have, that's great. That's great. But they don't want to do that. It's really not what anyone voted for, and it's an absolute disgrace, I think, that this is going on in the first place. Folks, we're going to be talking about a lot more in just a moment. I've got a lot more to dive into in regards to Doge. I know there's a lot of questionable things going on there. I know there's a report or specifically saying that the actual Doge efforts are completely gone. They've been shut down, no longer active. A lot of people saying that it's been shifted over to each department has its own little Doge entity at this point. I've got a lot to sound off on that front. I know it's very controversial. We're also going to be playing a clip from Congressman Tim Burchett as well, because Tim, a great congressman from the state of Tennessee, is sounding off. He was somebody who was on the committee itself, very discouraged that there wasn't enough done to keep things going. He's sounding off and speaking the truth about this. So I'll play just that. Also, there's scams in Dearborn, Michigan that are being outed, and it's been going on for years. It's been going on for years, but everyone's really afraid to touch the issue itself. Because of obviously the certain demographic that it includes. I'll detail that for you. Plus, how the Dearborn, Michigan mayor is looking to incentivize those who want to have kids to have more children. Obviously, that's speaking to the Muslim population there, and he's willing to pay moms $4,500 to do just that. Plus, the State Department put out an incredible thread, one that I have to say I've never thought was actually going to come. It's in regards to mass migration, how it's destroying the West. We've got new times on our hands, apparently. I had to read it twice and make sure that it was coming from an official government account. When I saw this tweet thread pop up, it was a good one. We'll play that for you. All 60 Minutes did a good job at highlighting the victims of the Ukrainian-Russian war. And although it was very one-sided and only focused on the Ukrainian angle, I think it's important as we continue to cover the massive casualties that have happened due to this war. I think it's really important that we hear from both sides. But they only focus on the Ukrainian side, but I also want to play the victims and all of this, those who have lost loved ones. You know, we had Sonia Labasco on just on Friday, and she was just in Ukraine and detailed it for us. 1.7 million is what Russia is saying in regards to Ukrainian deaths. How devastating. Folks, in the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We have our Black Friday sale. It's up early right now. It's buy one, get one free and all supplements for the next few hours. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and make sure you buy before this sale ends. It's also 25% off apparel as well. Don't miss out. This sale will end very, very shortly. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. More on the way. Don't go anywhere.
Right now on thealexjonesstore.com, you get buy one, get one free for any supplement. That includes our incredible ultramethylene blue, either the tincture or the capsules, as well as the Shilajit gummies, the colostrum plus, the bovine colostrum plus, the Irish sea moss gummies. I mean, there's a lot of really incredible stuff. I'm here in studio with Patrick Byrne. I know you're a big fan of the ultramethylene blue. Right now, that's buy one, get one free. All supplements, buy one, get one free. It's the Black Friday, came early, mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. Plus, we have a new deal. It's the Hat of the Month Club, where you can sign up and get a new hat every month, which is very fun. Of course, Christmas is coming up, folks. It'll be here before you know it. So do your Christmas shopping for the info warriors in your life. Patrick, you still all hopped up on methylene blue?
I am. I pilfer a bottle every time I come. You guys pay me in methylene blue. When it's been more than 60 days since I've been here, I run out, I will absolutely notice within a few days. A few days, my life goes back to being a little more lethargic than I should, wanting to sleep in. And it's not like speed or something. It isn't something. It's just you feel healthier.
It's like a clean, smooth energy. It's not coffee where you're sort of jittery. It's just like, it's like putting super gasoline in your car rather than the regular stuff. It's subtle, but you notice it.
You do.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fights will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today on this beautiful Monday morning. I can't believe Thanksgiving has creeped up on us, but apparently it's here. I don't know how this happened. We will have obviously a lot going on this week, but man, oh man, I wasn't ready for this. I went to the supermarket yesterday and I called the supermarket. I don't know if everyone does down here in the South, but I called the supermarket. I know a lot of people are like, what are you talking about, Brianna? So I was at the supermarket and, I was kind of shocked. There was a bunch of turkeys still out and I completely forgot to grab mine. So I grabbed, stocked up completely. Rib roast. I keep telling everyone, if you're a big fan of prime rib, you're looking to save this week on what could be close to a prime rib, you gotta go and see what your local supermarkets have. I know a lot of people are struggling, obviously, still. Right now, there's incredible sales all across the country at supermarkets when it comes to rib roast. And I keep telling you all, I posted on my X page, all I gotta do is go head on over there, but there's a way to make a rib roast where it tastes exactly like prime rib. And then you could boil down the bones later and use it as a French onion soup base. I don't know. I'm just full of all these tricks and trades. You guys don't follow me on Twitter. You probably should, because not only do I talk politics and corruption, but I also give you some good cooking advice. And it is very, very obviously enlightening when you finally get to learn that you don't have to pay a ton of money to have a great meal. I'll treat you or teach you all the tricks to the trade. I'll be also talking about the, there you go. That's my rib roast. Beautiful. It's a masterpiece. Don't laugh at me or yell at me for the stainless steel cutting boards, folks. I know a lot of you are concerned about my knives. My knives are doing just fine, though. I just don't want the microplastics in my food, and so that's the reason why we use stainless steels in my house, of course. But yeah, this is what you guys got to do. I know my local supermarkets, if you're in Texas, Kroger's, I believe, has it on sale right now. Just take a look around. It's an incredible deal, and it's delicious. You can stuff it with garlic. Okay, I'm sure you're not tuning into InfoWars to get cooking advice, so let's keep things going. Let's talk about government corruption. I've got a lot of that on the way in just a little bit. You know, Democrats are being called out for that video where they were trying to tell service members, don't comply with President Trump's orders. Yeah, he is the commander-in-chief. Obviously, you must. But they were trying to tell them that if you deem something as illegal, you don't have to comply. Well, there's obviously a big issue with that. And they're all being called out yesterday on Sunday morning news shows. I guess the media is starting to get wind of the fact that the American people no longer trust them. And so those in the mainstream media have to push back a bit. And they did do that yesterday. So we'll play those clips for you. We've also got an update regarding the pursuit to get Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton into Congress for their in-person depositions. Now, interesting enough, the House Committee of Oversight and Government Reform has just officially sent over one more letter in regards to that, giving them their final warning. I will issue the update on that. It's very, very fascinating. Of course, another strongly worded letter. We're hoping has some actual intent behind it. But listen, I'm not going to overhype you on that. We're also going to be talking in regards to Doge, because it was announced that Doge is no longer, it's no longer active. I know a lot of people are pushing back and saying, oh, Brianna, but each department has its own Doge division. I mean, do you really trust the government to investigate itself? Come on. Come on. So I'll bring you the latest on that. Plus, Congressman Tim Burchett is sounding off on all things related to Doge. He is someone that is very fired up, very upset, because he was on the committee, and unfortunately, nothing really came about it. So we'll talk about that in just a bit, as well as Dearborn, Michigan. The scammers are being exposed. Those scammers, of course, being the Somalian population. And it's been going on for several years now, but now they're finally being called out on it. The police chief over there, like, oh, I'm sorry. I helped expose your crimes that you have allegedly committed. It's just the, there's a word for, I don't know if I could say it on radio, but there's a word for these people, and it's not patriot. It's not patriot. I'll bring you through the very latest on that. Plus, they're also paying those residents in Dearborn, Michigan, $4,500 for every child they have. Yeah. As if the Muslim population need another incentive to reproduce over in Dearborn, Michigan. It's insane. They actually have the highest birth rate in the state of Michigan, but, you know, they're just going to keep doing this. So we have more to discuss in just a bit. Don't go anywhere. In the meantime, though, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com because we have the Black Friday sales that are kicking off early. Buy one, get one free for just a little bit longer. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now and make sure you stock up on all your favorite supplements. Plus, it's 25% off apparel. And now's a great time to stock up on holiday gifts over at the alexjonesstore.com.
We are live, still on air. Despite all the admissions of the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ, hundreds of millions of dollars spent trying to shut us down, But despite that, because you, the activist audience in the arena, stood with us with your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support, we have not only persevered, we have not only overcome, but we have dominated.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com today.
The spirit of victory lives in InfoWars. And InfoWars is more than a URL. It is more than this building. It is the people of America and the world becoming awake and standing up and rising and demanding liberty and freedom in the animating contest in the war against the tyrants.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're kicking off the second hour of the program with a lot more to unpack. A lot's been going on in case you missed in the first hour. We did a lot of digging into the MTG, President Trump feud that's been going on, obviously MTG. Resigning from Congress. I obviously disagree with that move. I think she's a fighter and I think we need her in this. So I hope it's not completely over for her, but we'll continue to follow that. I also covered extensively the fake news allegations that the FBI tried to lay out, trying to debunk both mine, Tucker Carlson, and Miranda Devine's report regarding Thomas Crooks. I'll leave that out for you as well. So if you didn't catch that, make sure you go on back, because folks, we have the receipts to prove the FBI is intentionally being misleading and trying its very best to discredit people like myself, Miranda Devine, and Tucker Carlson. But there's a lot more to dig into in regards to Democrats admitting, well, being forced to admit that they lied. Many of you guys know Democrats weren't happy because President Trump put a very aggressive tweet out there calling them out for essentially telling members of our military that they don't have to do or carry through with orders that come from the commander in chief. Now, they put out this very long video of all of them pretending like there was some type of patriotism behind this. Obviously, it's not. They weren't happy when the president responded. But it was interesting because yesterday, a couple of them did make their way onto, the Sunday morning news shows. And they were confronted, which is strange, never normally happens. But in clip five, you're going to hear, because Senator Slotkin, admits that Democrats lied. She didn't intentionally want to say it, but admits that they lied about President Trump and whether or not he's intentionally given any type of illegal orders that would even warrant this type of video from being put out there. Take a listen.
Let's talk right now. Do you believe President Trump has issued any illegal orders?
To my knowledge, I am not aware of things that are illegal, but certainly there are some legal gymnastics that are going on with these Caribbean strikes and everything related to Venezuela.
Ah, so she doesn't agree with the Caribbean strikes. Okay, listen, if you had some type of information to bring forward, I would highly recommend you do just that. If they're illegal, tell us how they're illegal. Tell us how they are illegal. Unfortunately, they're unable to do just that because they aren't on the side of facts. This is their emotions. And as of right now, yes, do I have doubts of whether or not, or worries that this could possibly be a really serious issue if they're striking boats that do not have drugs on them, and how we, the American people, know we probably wouldn't. Because we're only seeing the footage after it's been declassified. So yeah, there's concerns there. But to sit here and say they're illegal, well, how, lady? How are they illegal? Outline your argument. And it's not just that. Also, Congressman Jason Krause has been called out on this as well from CBS yesterday. And they're asking, again, just to outline the most basic point of their argument here. And unfortunately, they can't give you a definite answer as to how these orders are illegal. Take a listen.
Let's get to the content of what you had in that video you released, because there are also 15 House Republicans who are also veterans who released a video, including a retired three-star Marine Corps general, Jack Bergman. Take a listen to this.
Troops, listen up. Any service member who refuses a lawful order is subject to court-martial for violating the Uniform Code of Military Justice.
We study what's lawful and what's not lawful, and the Democrats' stunt insinuating that they're illegal or unconstitutional orders, it's downright dangerous.
It is corrosive. It is meant to weaken our country and weaken the military.
How do you respond to these allegations from your colleagues, fellow veterans, that what you have put out there is weakening and corrosive to the military?
Well, these unfortunately are some of Trump's core supporters that are rallying behind the president, and they know better. They know exactly the difference between lawful versus unlawful. We were very clear in the video that what we're talking about is unlawful orders. You have the president's spokesperson going into a press conference this past week and saying that we called for people to disobey lawful orders. They're simply lying because the truth is unacceptable to them. It's unacceptable. We wanted to start a conversation, and we did, about the dangerous rhetoric this president is using and the threats that he's made to use our military in an unlawful way.
Specifically what?
Well, send troops into Chicago, send troops into polling stations, kill terrorists' families, arrest and execute members of Congress.
Kill terrorist families. What the heck is this guy talking about? Hey, listen, I have to tell you something. The president can do whatever he wants to do in regards to all of this. And the fact that they're sitting here and they're arguing on behalf of drug dealers and terrorists tells you everything you need to know. Tells you everything you need to know about those on the left these days. They have completely abandoned any sign of American values. But again, I'm not telling you one party is significantly better than the other. These people are just trying to sell you on this BS salad. And we're just not buying it anymore. Enough is enough. Speaking of that, guys, I'm also going to be taking your calls in about 20 minutes. So if you'd like to give us a call, tell us how you feel. Maybe you disagree with me in regards to the MTG and President Trump feud. Well, give us a call, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We'll be taking your calls in about 20 minutes. So call in now. We're going to try our very best to go from the top down to the bottom. And so if there's something that's on your mind, give us a call. All right, I want to break down this story because this, again, happened late Friday evening. And this is the thing. So I try to pay attention to the Friday stuff that drops because I know the goal here is to try to not get as much media attention, in my opinion. So I have a strong feeling that this is possibly the case. But it was announced, the Oversight Committee, that they had sent over a letter to both Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton's attorney. House Oversight Committee is now issuing their final warning in regards to those depositions. Now, as many of you guys know, both Hillary and Bill were MIA when they were supposed to have their scheduled meeting, and they have decided not to show for that. They completely ignored it, what apparently, according to Democrats, is a crime in the letter that they just recently sent over. Though Chairman Comer states that Bill Clinton's deposition is scheduled for December 17th, and Hillary's is scheduled for December 18th. Now, again, if they choose not to abide by this, hopefully a criminal referral will follow through. I know Comer's been doing a lot of media hits saying that he, yes, intends to do just that. So we shall see if that is the case. Again, they are giving the Clintons a lot of leniency in regards to all of this. Now, this does have to do with, obviously, Jeffrey Epstein. And so we'll continue to sit back and watch. All right, let's talk about Doge. Doge was one of the most popular things I think the government's ever done, ever in the history of government. It was meant to obviously cut back on reckless spending and to pull out the fraud, the corruption, and to expose it. They did an incredible job when it first launched. I was probably the biggest Doge fan out there, constantly reporting on all the corruption that they were finding, all the wasteful spending. But then all of a sudden, it started trickling down, and we were no longer hearing about the great work that was being done by Doge. Now turns out that Doge was kind of just shut down eight months ahead of its normal, what was scheduled, July 2026 expiration date, which was under Executive Order 14158. Now, obviously, Doge was very controversial because the bureaucrats did not like the filth that they've been doing with our taxpayer money being exposed. But most Americans, most level-headed Americans really did appreciate all the incredible work that was being done by Elon Musk and his staff. But now it looks to be no longer. Now, I knew there was a lot of issues with Doge behind the scenes because congressional members who were assigned to work on that committee were trying their very best to come forward and have these discussions, and there was not much happening on that level. That was very unfortunate, of course, because there was a massive amount of pushback when it came to exposing all of the government filth. We're going to play clip 7 for you because the only real congressman nowadays who I truly do believe cold-heartedly is over here, and he's outing all of the information regarding Doge. Take a listen to Congressman Tim Burchett, because he's out here detailing exactly what happened behind the scenes. Take a listen.
And Elon Musk had it right. And that's why I think both parties shunned themselves from him, because he said, hey, that was NGOs, and money flows right back to Washington. And he told me, he said, I think it flows in the pockets of politicians. I mean, you had the ranking member of the committee I serve on that went through the bill to defund the Taliban, which, you know, still waiting in the Senate for them to pass it. All kinds of confusion over there. They're fighting over the NGOs. The money, he told me the money flows right from your pockets to the dadgum NGOs. The NGOs, the money comes right back to Washington in the form of dark money and in the pockets of politicians. That's why you're seeing Republicans go squishy on NGOs, because they're shady as hell. They all are. I mean, if you're involved in it, they are. Not everybody up here is. Some of them are just willing idiots. They just go along to get along, so they know that they'll get their crumbs, and they don't really ask where they come from.
Do you think that that's what Elon found, and that's why he was run out of the city?
That's my theory. That's my theory, ultimately. I think he was getting too close. I don't know if he found the specifics yet, but I'd say he was right on it. He was right on it. And then you don't see the media rap. And I know I got to get on. I got to go. I got to get out. I got to get to my deal. C-SPAN, I apologize. But, yeah, that's exactly what happened. I mean, it's money, it's power, and it's arrogance. All those three things is what runs this town.
Yeah, he's the only one who is going to tell you the truth, and we appreciate him for that. But, man, oh, man. Wouldn't that be unfortunate to expose the fact that the money is going directly to the politicians that continuously, blindly, of course, continue to fund these groups? You're telling me that they didn't actually get Sesame Street in Iraq for millions and millions of your taxpayer dollars? How strange. How strange. Folks, the filth is just out of control. It's so corrupt that they ran Elon Musk out of Washington, D.C. They were able to successfully do just that. Do just that. What are your thoughts, though, on Doge? If you guys want to give us a call, please do just that. We're going to be taking your calls in about 15 minutes. 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. Let's stick to the topics that we've discussed thus far. If you'd like to weigh in on Doge or any of the topics we've discussed to this point, call us now. We'll be taking your calls in just a little bit. But folks, it's so unfortunate that this is what happened to Doge. Now, I know a lot of people are trying to dispute it and saying, oh, but Brianna, there's going to be individual divisions within each of these departments that overlooks, and it's like little entities of Doge. You really think that's going to do much? You think the government's going to tell on itself? I don't think so. I have a lack of confidence in any of that. I truly do. There was a reason why they were going so aggressively hard on Elon Musk and others. And it wasn't because they really were fans of transparency. Let's talk about Dearborn, Michigan, because it's interesting, because we're learning more and more about how those who have invaded our country are now robbing our country, allegedly. Somalians who have been invading Dearborn, Michigan have completely flooded the area, have, according to reports, been shipping off millions of dollars to their people, their terrorist organizations. Millions of taxpayer money has been stolen. It's a part of a massive Minnesota welfare fraud scheme. And it's been one of the, it's going to one of the Somalian-based terror groups, Al-Shabaab, according to a report. The radical Islamic terrorist group, which is a long-standing ally of Al-Qaeda. Again, I don't even know why they'd have to do this. We are willingly giving money to Al-Qaeda these days, as you heard the congressman just tell you. But apparently they were all playing a role in money being stolen and then sent back off to Somalia. That's according to a local news report, City Journal, who's been exposing just that. Now, President Trump, obviously not a fan of this, and has taken away protective status in all of this. But this isn't anything new. This has been going on for quite some time now. And I want you to listen to clip 8, because this is something that dates back to like the early 2000s. And it outlines exactly what these Somalians have been accused of for many, many years now. Take a listen.
At Cedar and Riverside, two businesses shut down, their assets seized, and a suspect hauled away. That suspect may be Garad Jama, the only Twin Cities individual targeted by customs agents in the raid. Jama's last known address, this apartment complex at 2100 Bloomington Avenue South in Minneapolis. A block away from the first raid, two more businesses raided and shut down. At both locations, a steady stream of Somali refugees hoping to wire money home to their families turned away.
Business is shut down right now.
And at both locations, boxes of material seized, including a safe and a filing cabinet. Customs agents believe all four businesses are involved in funneling money to Osama bin Laden's Al-Qaeda terrorist network. Somali refugees who use the wire services insist they are honest businesses.
They are not helping terrorism people. They are doing just their own business. The business are free, whatever they do. Mm-hmm. But it's not the kind of that when starting to give to the enemies or the terrorism people.
They are also afraid that having fled civil war in their homeland, they will now be seen as an enemy in their adopted land.
As a Somalian, we send money our families in back home. But we don't support tourists, or we're not behind tourists, or we don't support them, or we don't send money about them at all.
So this has obviously been a very ongoing issue, and many have been trying to cover and expose it. Listen, folks, it's allegations, obviously, and they have not yet been convicted. Obviously, these individuals who are being accused of these crimes, but the reality of it is it's been ongoing for too long. Too long. When they come here, they don't speak well of this country. They don't have pride or even an ounce of thankfulness that we've saved them. We've seen it time and time again. Their politicians are a clear display of just that. They're elected officials that they bring to represent them in Washington, D.C. Ilhan Omar, obviously, being the clear case of that. But Dearborn, Michigan, well, they aren't very welcoming if you are not someone who shares their same radical beliefs. They've been doing their very best to push out the Christian nation, the population, I should say, that's in the area. We've seen that time and time again and have covered that extensively. But the Dearborn mayor is a very hateful, nasty, nasty man. He's someone, if you even try to bring about any type of criticism towards those who have now been imported to the region, he'll call you a really mean, nasty name. I want you to listen to clip 9, because now the mayor of Dearborn is offering mothers $4,500 for every child they now birth. Take a listen.
If you had a baby as of November 1 or are currently pregnant, you are eligible for up to $4,500. I would just have three kids.
Dearborn RX Kids is finally here. We worked for this program for over 2 years, and if you're pregnant now, had a baby after November 1st, you're eligible.
Dearborn produces more babies per capita than any other city in Michigan, roughly 1,700 babies, which is why it's important that this program is live and well right here in the city of Dearborn.
There's a reason for that, obviously. They understand the mission. The mission is to outpopulate those who live here, the natives. It's a mission, folks. I don't know how many more times you have to tell you this. He is one of the many people who have sat here and told you that they're not trying to assimilate, that we have to assimilate to them. This is what's going on all around the country, and nobody really has an appetite to even stop this from happening. I'll give you a couple of talking points. I'll tell you that Sharia law needs to be banned. By the way, it's Sharia. And let me just explain to you folks that it already is banned. There's no such thing as another group of individuals coming to this country and imposing their own laws. It's unconstitutional. We know that from the very beginning. It's just a matter of whether those in powerful positions want to sit there and question it when they realize that it's actually happening here in the United States. But this is the problem. It's what you see in the UK too. Once these people become outpopulated, they quickly shun away from any type of criticism because they're afraid of these individuals that they've imported. See it again throughout Europe. There's a very interesting thread that the State Department actually just put up. And I have to say, I actually had to check multiple times to see if this was real. The State Department's out here talking about how mass migration is an external threat to Western civilization and undermines the stability of key American allies. They've outlined just that. Mass migration is a human rights concern. Western nations have endured crime waves, terror attacks, sexual assaults, and the displacement of communities. U.S. officials will urge governments to take bold action and defend citizens against the threats posed by mass migration. I mean, this is insane. And they go on to outline specifically what they're talking about here in regards to this. In the United Kingdom, thousands of girls have been victimized in Rotherham and Newcastle. Those are two areas that we've covered on this show, too, based on the grooming gangs. By the way, those are Pakistani grooming gangs. Many girls have been left the unspeakable abuse for years now, and they've actually been pushed away by local authorities. Again, in Sweden as well, a 16-year-old girl was raped, and the individual who raped her wasn't deported because it didn't last long enough. It goes on to outline also how it's happening in Germany. Nine men, several of them who are migrants, were convicted of gang raping a 15-year-old girl. And again, it keeps happening, and they're just outlining it for you guys. The United States supports the sovereignty of our allies and calls on governments, again, to answer these types of concerns. The United States stands ready to assist our allies in solving the global crisis of mass migration. I never thought in a million years we'd see the State Department talking about this, but here we are. I was told this was like a fringe right thing to talk about. But now currently we have this administration through the Department of State, obviously, State Department, coming out and swinging on this issue. Now, what will happen after this, we don't know. But officially, we have word that they understand the damages of mass migration and how it's destroyed Europe and how they're looking to destroy all countries in the West. So we'll see if there's any action that follows through on this. Folks, if you haven't done so already, give us a call, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We'll be taking calls in about 5 minutes. So if you want to give us a call, jump on the show, tell us what you're thinking in regards to Doge, maybe the FBI, maybe in regards to MTG, gosh, I can't even speak, or you know, weigh on another topic that we have to discuss later on the show. You could do so. Give us a call. We're taking your calls now, 877-789-2539. We're taking your calls. In the meantime, though, head on over to the Alex Jones Store. .com because right now when you head over to the alexjonesstore.com, we're doing the buy one get one free. It is our early Black Friday sale going on right now. It's also in addition to these great savings, you're also getting 25% off apparel as well, and you're also, when you make a purchase, going to enter in a contest to win a brand new Jeep plus potentially $10,000. Head on over to the Alex Jones Store now. Again, folks, we have more to discuss. We're going to be playing the 60-minute piece regarding the Ukrainian-Russian war. It is one-sided, of course. They're only showing you the Ukraine side to all of this, but I think it's very important that we discuss just that. We hear from those who have lost loved ones to this war. Plus, there was an interesting report regarding Tyson Foods. They're actually closing up one of their big food processing plants. And you might recall, because last year I was one of a very limited group of people who came out swinging because Tyson Foods was looking to replace American workers with, get this, illegal aliens. They denied those claims. But Bloomberg even came out and reported on that as well. So we'll be discussing all of this. Plus, Susan Crabtree is going to be joining us in a little bit to discuss the FBI's latest efforts to debunk reports that we have the evidence on. Plus, she's working on a couple of great stories I wanted to discuss. So we'll have plenty more to dive into in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
They know what they're doing. They mean business. They've already conquered most of the world. And they're not going to stop. George Soros stole the pension funds of dozens of countries' old people. The left loves him. He crashes currencies. He puts old people on the street. He helps Adolf Hitler round up Jews. They love that. That's power. That's the pure exercise of will to them because they're such disgusting people. Look at Mondami. Look at Alexander Soros. Those are the most disingenuous, fake, wicked, manipulating people that have nothing but absolute total rage towards you and your family. You're a hard-working middle-class Black family, they hate you. You're a hard-working middle-class Hispanic family, they hate you. You're a hard-working middle-class white family, they hate you. They hate anything that ever stood up to total power and total control. It's in their textbooks. of why the West must be destroyed so there's no example anybody else and no hope worldwide. Nothing but darkness and evil rulers that can do whatever they want. And how they convince the West that we're the authors of the evil, that we're the authors of slavery, that we're the authors of darkness and destruction. When despite all our problems, the West has been the great light. And they don't deny that in Japan. They don't deny that as philosophers, even in India. They teach that there still, but not here. You've got to be taught that you are bad. You are evil. So you must bow down and give up your life force, give up your will, give up your survival instinct, and learn to hate yourself because the world's going to end. Because the ice caps all melted, the polar bears all drowned. None of it's true. And you know it's not true. But when AOC and all of them tell you the world ends in 2030, well, under their 2030 agenda, the world as you know it is over. And any free market capitalist system of competition is over. And the mega corporations through the governments rule you. And they do it all through class envy. When it is the billionaire globalist class, the BlackRocks, the Larry Finks that are running all of this. So when you hear everybody that wants welfare and everybody that wants a free lunch, everybody that's a criminal, everybody that wants to get away with murder is going to come to New York and that, boy, that's stupid, that'll destroy the city, that's the plan. And then as that falls and as they bring in even more foreigners, that boils into the next town, boils into the next city. And the incredible corruption of the Democratic Party and all the money they steal and all the things they do. They want to destroy all the tourist centers. They want ugliness. They want homelessness. They want homeless camps everywhere. They want rats running around the street. While Larry Fink lives on a 20,000-acre gigantic mansion that rival what the King of England has. But, oh, he's up there telling you if you're making $100,000 a year, you're a rich, evil, white person, and you better do whatever he says. And they're destroying the means of production. The big banks don't want competition. They want to destroy the means of production so they can then issue you credits when you're in debt. They already own 80%+ of the assets in the world, but now they've got to get the last 20%. Not just because they're greedy like Scrooge McDuck that wants to swim around in gold, but because they want to dictate everything to us. They don't want you to have anything. Not a garden, not your health, not a little farm, not a skill. Not be able to say 2+2=4. Not be able to fix an engine because all the engines are computerized and won't let you. They want a post-human world with robots delivering us all our food and everything else. The poison food. It is a premeditated international globalist takeover and they admit it. It is deliberate. It is a plan. And you can stop a deliberate plan. Deliberate. Deliberate. Premeditated. 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 Premeditated.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Happy Monday, everyone. All right, there's a lot been digging into all day. Maybe we take a break a little bit from the headlines and get some callers. So we've got a couple of callers on the line. And, you know, we could use a little bit more of an optimistic, I guess, tone to all of this. So let's kick things off with Tim in California, who wants to weigh in on potentially an MTG and Elon Musk theory he has cooking up. Tim, welcome to the show.
Well, and good morning, Brianna, and thank you for taking my call. And I don't know if I can or should tie these together, or maybe you're able to do this. But it just occurred to me upon the departure of Marjorie Taylor Greene that, you know, this sort of kerfuffle and back and forth and so forth, it just totally reminded me of the Doge thing with Elon Musk. You have the world's wealthiest man that's spending his time and energy and hanging out at the White House and the Capitol with the president, and he's on the inside with all his brilliant friends and, you know, they talk about, oh, you don't need a rocket scientist. These folks are rocket scientists. In just a matter of days, they're able to figure out just whatever it is, hundreds of billions of dollars of fraud and grift and waste and abuse. And you would think that, oh, boy, we would have been all over that, you know, really, really jumping on that and getting going. And You know, you think about the January 6th people, how just instantly, they are just arresting grandma 2,000 miles away that's got cancer and putting her in prison because she asked, where's the bathroom? And I'm just thinking, holy cow, you know, if we found all this fraud, waste, and abuse, that should be handled. And I think that's why he gave up his career. And think about it, while that was happening, they're also bombing all the Tesla dealerships and burning down all the cars and spray painting them and scratching them and all this stuff. So my point is, Marjorie Taylor Greene, she may not be as brilliant in these Elon Musk or whatever, but she, I think, was putting her best foot forward and doing the best she could, trying real hard for her people and the American public and so forth. And all of a sudden, she's got to be excommunicated. I thought, well, that kind of reminds me of what happened to Elon Musk.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's possible. It's nothing surprises me these days. Tim, you probably are onto something. I've had enough of this. I mean, these were two great people. I mean, two great people who are fighting for government transparency, purging the waste and ending the corruption. And it's an exhausting job. I mean, like you mentioned, Elon Musk, his Tesla dealership's getting firebombed relentlessly. And although the DOJ is saying, oh, we're going to prosecute, I mean, it's still damages that, you know, can't be undone. The loss that his employees were taking, the lack of people shuffling into their Tesla stores because of all of this, people who were just simply parking their Teslas outside and getting, you know, these nasty words written on them, their cars keyed in. I mean, there was a massive, massive pushback effort on all of this. So yeah, it doesn't surprise me. I think, you know, MTG was probably really surprised how quickly people turned on her because she was all about the love and the cause for all of this, about love for country, and then how quickly everyone turned on her. But Tim, I think you're onto something. And I do see a common theme here, so you're not too far away. Thank you for calling in, Tim. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. Let's keep it to the Doge topic. I want to get to Chad in Minnesota. Chad, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning.
The Doge, Tim mentioned it. I look at it as the tips of the spear.
Yeah.
And Elon Musk was definitely one of those. InfoWars is obviously, anytime we get anywhere near the truth, what happens? Mm-hmm. Just what Tim explained, where we go, and all of a sudden we're attacking a person that we maybe we're impartial in certain ways and not so extreme, but all of a sudden it becomes extreme and then it goes away. I haven't heard much about vandalism. I know they've implemented laws and, you know, had to come out and warn people that if you continue with that behavior, you will be prosecuted. But it's gone now. It's just like, oh, well, you know what? That Doge is pretty much done and that's it. But, you know, it was a solution to our mandate. And the NGOs with USAID kind of stuff, the funding there, NED, the National Endowment for Democracy, that still operates. Look into that. And the thing is that it's like we need to get at least a stopgap where we put out or we get enough information to people so they at least are understanding that these people that we're dealing with are this corrupt. And the NSA is the tool. I'm hoping that somebody is getting in there and doing it through a, you know, a constitutional process within the means of, you know, what they can do. But Bill Binney has been explaining that there's, you know, thin thread, the program that he came up with, you can do that constitutionally with FISA and do it properly. Look at what ended up with the FBI. They've got 270,000 or 280,000 open discrepancies with FISA because they did it illegally. And it's like you could go in there probably with a snap of a finger and shut down all these threats. And I think that that's maybe where, you know, Doge was possibly maybe not directly involved with the NSA, but in a sense, very similar to the process of getting things done and quickly and on the mandate. And if Trump wants to get people to win back the hearts of, if he wants to win back the hearts of people and understand, put some shutdowns on NGOs, all these corrupt systems, and do it swiftly. And don't worry about what all the external noise of, oh, you're bad. Oh, okay. Just ignore it. Like you said earlier, it's just like he can do what he wants as long as it's constitutionally, you know, correct. Hey, we can do this stuff. So I just, and I don't want to be I'll be marble pilled more so, you know, I have mini marble, mini pills here.
Yeah.
But I just want things to get to where we get, you know, it's the golden age talk. What is golden age? Going back to the way things were, where it's just like prices come down and then we wait till 2028 and see what happens. Yeah. We don't have time. I mean, this is the time's running out. There needs to be a sense of urgency. So I appreciate you taking calls. Have a great day.
No, you too, Chad. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, I know I'm 1,000% on board with this. I mean, there needs to be a sense of urgency. We're so, I've been just so black-pilled over these last few days, and I try not to sound like it because I feel like we all need a sense of optimism here. But I keep calling my friends in D.C., and they're just like all like, Brianna, we don't really have much for you here. We're all trying on our ends. That's why we took on these positions. We didn't get here because we wanted to work in the D.C. swamp. We got here because we wanted to fix these issues. And we're on a very limited time crunch, and they understand that. But there's obviously these obstacles. I mean, obstacles, I mean all these, you know, bureaucrats, swamp creatures who continuously put all of this to an end. And, you kind of, you know, reminded me again that DOJ did all this incredible work. But what did the DOJ do to follow up on it? Nothing. We sat back and we saw them pulling out all this corruption and how these NGOs were potentially linked to politicians. And what have we seen? Nothing. We haven't even heard of an investigation launching. And so it just truly is discouraging. Chad, I want to thank you for calling in because it's definitely stuff that we need to be talking about. Michael in New York, I see you want to talk about Elon as well. Welcome to the show.
I just want to say that putting Elon in charge of government spending is like electing a arsonist to be head of your fire department.
Now, why would you say that? Yeah.
Why? He's a recipient of the most government wasteful spending with all his BS programs. That's why.
Oh, well, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, the president can call him out on that, too.
they're all charlatans. Trump's working with them. Elon. They're all following the Henry Kissinger 1972 transfer of power plan. That is what they are following. Now, we need to embrace solutions. All we do is talk about confusion. We never, ever bring up solutions. There is a surefire way to never repeat January 6th again, everybody. Anytime there is a large body of people organized into a group, into a secure location, and somebody orders them to march to an unsecure location without a point man and without a lookout, it's setting you up for a trap, all right? Whoever organized that event, and you had all those General Flynn, Stuart Rose, all those military guys, and you bring guys to a organized event to a secure location and march them to in a hostile situation to an unsecure location with no point man and no lookout, that's a trap. And everybody that organized that event was part of it.
Well, I got to push back a bit, okay, because we don't really have any evidence to prove that they're a part of it. And I've spoken with Stewart about this prior and pushed him into this. And I've spoken to people who were there, the Oath Keepers that were there. They were there for security purposes. But most importantly, you know, Stewart Rhodes never went into the Capitol that day, nor did he instruct people to go into the Capitol that day. And when he heard people went into the Capitol that day, Stewart Rhodes was the first one to call these guys out. And it's not from Stewart's perspective I heard this. This is from the guys who he straight up to their face called them all idiots for going into the Capitol. And so it's probably a setup if you went into the Capitol. So to clear Stewart Rhodes, I have to do just that. And I know that Stuart Rhodes was very much against that and was telling people that that was a really dumb move if you went to the Capitol. And do I believe there was agitators in the crowd? Yes. But the event that day was permitted. We know that all the people that were there that day were also then swept up into the Arctic Frost investigation, and they were trying to go after them as well. General Flynn, I don't think General Flynn played a role in getting those people wrapped up into what happened inside the Capitol. I don't have a single soundbite that proves that Flynn told them to go into the Capitol. I know Alex was trying to warn people that day to be very, very careful. So there were a lot of people out there who were trying to warn people not to. Now, we've seen the footage of obviously the security letting them in, holding the door open. I would say that there's probably more of a push to get people in there that were actually working for the law enforcement agencies that day rather than those people who wanted to. And you're entitled to. You have a First Amendment right. If you want to show up to a rally, you're allowed to do just that. Now, also keep in mind that they thought they were allowed to be around the Capitol area. There was a lot of signage related issues. And so certain areas that they weren't supposed to be permitted in, they didn't know of that. And so, yes, there's that angle, too. There are obviously agitators in the crowd, and those people are the ones that we're going to push back on. But I think that the names you just dropped, I don't see a single piece of evidence that proves that they were trying to lead people intentionally into the Capitol. Michael, I'll let you get one last word in on that.
Yeah, I just want to say that it's just unacceptable to have people organize an event in a secure location under hostile terms, right? It's a hostile environment. And then how can anyone be that stupid to tell them to go march down a large body of people from a secure location to an unsecure location with no point man and no lookout? You can't have a guy watching the area down there going, hey, it's all clear down here. You just march them down. Now, if I was the general of an army, if I was leading an army, and my generals did that to troops, I would have to execute them.
All right, we're done with this. Thank you for calling, Michael. We appreciate it. But I don't think there's any evidence of that. And I don't think any of those guys had any ill intent that day. And Stuart Rhodes was sentenced to 18 years in prison. And I think that highlights exactly why they went after him, because, again, he didn't tell people to go into the Capitol. People went into the Capitol because the law enforcement agencies there did. There was also agitators in the crowd, some guys telling me that they were pushed into the Capitol. But I would never call for their execution, because not a single one of them are worthy of that level of retaliation or punishment. These are patriots we're talking about, and there's no proof that these people intentionally let them into the Capitol that day. But I appreciate your insight, so thank you for calling in, Michael. We appreciate everyone's opinions, of course. Okay, let's turn to Addison in Georgia. Addison, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to talk about the 14 magic money computers that Elon Musk claimed that he had found, and how that should have been, for lack of a better world ending. I mean, why are any of us out here at work? I mean, we know we're in a fiat currency, but they have the ability to create it with, there's no input. It's just output. As fast as the acquisition requests came in, they were going right back out. And then we all just forgot.
Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, where was the investigation to any of that? I remember when that story came out, that was like a big story for about 24 hours, and then how quickly it vanished out of thin air. Yeah, no, you're spot on. You're right about that. It's pretty infuriating, and I don't think we've really gotten much of a follow-up, unless you've heard of anything, Addison. I don't think I have. Have you heard of a follow-up?
No, not really. It's just business as usual. The more things are happening, the less they're happening at all.
Yeah.
You know, it just shows that our government is essentially running on its own corruption. That's the only thing keeping this economy, this fiat currency, afloat right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sad. It really is sad. I mean, Doge did find some great things. And I know, you know, Elon Musk obviously had some government related, probably questionable things, probably with his financial ties as well, as the last caller was just suggesting. But there was a lot of great things that came from Doge. And I think it was really important for us to get to the bottom of a lot of these issues. So it was very discouraging. Thank you for calling in, though. We appreciate your time, of course. I want to turn to Mike in Missouri. Mike, welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, thank you. First of all, Alex is I've been listening to him for a long time. My wife and I take all of his supplements that we've found that do great things for us. And if you think it's something other than just helping you become healthy, rethink it. Order it, test it, do it yourself. Now let's get on to the topics that I called on. I love the fact people get so worked up with Washington, D.C. Everyone has emotion towards it. We get that. But let's remember that we all live in a state, and these states of the United States are sovereign. The federal government's an agent of this nation. We empower it to basically practice what it's supposed to do for the general welfare of everybody they represent. And we have allowed the 10th Amendment to be hollowed out, and we need to reassert ourselves by getting engaged, involved in your state, your local governments, your state governments, and you need to demand accountability at the state level and elect people who will hold Washington, D.C. accountable. All of this emotion does very little. They get away with so much. We haven't had a budget passed in 25 years, and that's unacceptable. In Missouri, we have a constitutional requirement to have a balanced budget every year. Why aren't the same standards, conservative principles, being held up to the federal government? We should be demanding a budget, a balanced budget. We should be demanding that the federal government shrink in size, lower the taxation, and create jobs. It's really not that hard, but it does take an emotional refocus to the sovereigns, the states. Hold your elected officials accountable. President Trump just took our very, very good conservative attorney general and took him to the FBI. It is not Missouri's job nor other states' jobs to train good people only to be pilfered to the federal government level. I'm upset about that. I think that is government in reverse. Federal government should be serving the states, not the other way around. What's your take on that?
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on. And I think we advocate for it. I think you have more control on your state level and the local level rather than the federal level. I think it's up to the people to exactly do what you just said, to push for these things. To push for a balanced budget every year and to demand it, matter in fact. It's crazy when you see what's been going on for this long and how we just allow it all to continue on. I mean, there's very little pushback. You know, again, I'll say Mel Kay wrote a book. Again, it's about Americans Anonymous, but it's also kind of like what you just alluded to here, what you're looking to push, how we could get involved on a state level to make sure that we are advocating locally for these things that we really need done. We have more control locally than we do on a federal level, and I think that's where people need to regroup. I will say this, though. You know, I'm from New York, and I left New York because I was going to get involved in local politics over there, and I saw how corrupt it was in the simple New York GOP level, the state level itself, and I want no part in it. I mean, I think there's a lot of corruption, a lot of those key individuals who are in powerful positions, whether it's states or federal, where they just continue to have, like, this quest for just more and more power, even though New York is completely bankrupt on a GOP level when it comes to that. The party itself was completely bankrupt, and yet they still wouldn't allow. I'll give you an example. In order to get their endorsement, there was three chairmen I had to speak to, two county and then one local town chairwoman I had to speak to. And one of them's like, well, you have to bring on our people in order for us to endorse you as the candidate and to ensure that no one runs against you and tries to primary you. And I was like, well, what's your team of people you want to give me? Let me, like, see their resumes. Let me see their background. And none of them had a history of winning. Now, what is it likely to? This is my suggestion. This isn't my opinion. This isn't anything proven. But the reality is they were trying to push people who have a history of losing rather than a history of winning. If you're trying to actually win seats, win a majority, you would surround candidates with quality people who could help get them to that position. But unfortunately, they were surrounding people around me who do not have that. And so I didn't run for office for that reason alone, because I figured, I mean, why would you push people who are at a history of failure rather than a history of victories under their belts? So on a local level, it was just a complete swamp. And for me, it was just discouraging to see. And I figured, you know, let me get ahead of it before everyone moved to Florida. Let me try to fight in a state that's worth preserving. And Florida was that for me. But I think you're spot on. And also, Missouri does tend to turn in, Mike, a bunch of great politicians, because I think you guys understand it better than most states do. When it comes to holding these politicians accountable, you guys really do turn over some incredible individuals, especially into the D.C. swamp. So we're thankful for just that. Mike, thank you for calling the show. I hope you were able to learn a little bit from that, as I was able to take in what you said, because I think it's really important, especially for our audience, to hear the importance of get involved locally. Start turning up for these local chairman events, your local GOP events. Like, people don't understand how important that really is, and it truly, truly is. I go to the public hearings often for a lot of things happening in Texas now. And man, oh man, you'd be surprised at what actually plays out right in front of your own eyes. So thank you, Mike. We appreciate you calling in. Let's get to Jordan in New Jersey. Jordan, welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Jordan.
I just wanted to bring some legal analysis. I'm an attorney. I've been on the show with Alex earlier this year.
Okay.
Specifically about Article 3 judges.
Okay.
And trying to do something about the quote-unquote inferior courts. That Congress has the authority to, do whatever it wants to. It can abolish them, it can reform them, et cetera. Now, with this illegal orders thing, there's a very dangerous situation that can develop. For instance, with the Venezuelan issue, if the, we have a war action by Trump, there's probably going to be, Article 3 judges that are come out and say those are legal, and then people, whoever it is in the military, to dog whistle to those folks to disobey those orders and not have any of that work. So that's a very important component here, and I want to reaffirm the warning that I gave in February of this year, that Congress or the people need to, actively approach Congress people to do something about these courts. Unfortunately, the electorate is totally uninformed, and you know, but this is a huge danger to the Republic, these Article III judges, which have been stacked with people from Democrat, you know, Democrat administrations. Trump wasn't able to get anybody in. And this ties into another problem we just talked about with the local corruption with federal prosecutors, who are the people that are supposed to take to task local political people, government entities that are corrupt. Trump hasn't been able to get control over any of these offices, as we saw with Harrigan, with Halligan, with the Comey dispute. Or in New Jersey, where I'm at, Elena Haba. They just don't recognize their authority. And in fact, people don't realize this. The district court judges, if an appointment isn't in by whatever, 120 days or something like that, then they can appoint their own person, which they tried to do here in New Jersey. And so everybody needs to understand how this all works so that the dangers are properly identified. And I just want to raise that issue, which I raised in February with Alex in my interview with him. It's very important that this goes away a little in a news cycle, that they're gearing up for something so that they can challenge whatever Trump's going to try to do. I just want to warn everybody, and I want to also state corruption at the local level is replete. I have dealings. I go after a lot of public entities in my practice, and the immunities have now extended well beyond what was intended by the Supreme Court in the 1800s. With the slaughterhouse cases, and we have a national crisis of very corrupt people running everything down even to the local dog catcher. People don't understand about civics. The culture's been dumbed down to such an extent they don't even understand. They think politics is a hobby. So, and trivia, not something that everybody has to be engaged in as a duty as a citizen. So I just want to warn everybody again. I keep saying this like a broken record, but no one's really addressing the fact that these Article III judges, like Boasberg, he's supposed to be impeached, right? There's no vote on that.
Yeah.
And this ties into MTG and some of these other people like Massey. Instead of getting the DOJ reforms in, okay, they decided we need to release the Epstein files.
Yeah, well, Jordan, I want to keep you on right now because my producer wants to take your information out. We are up against a hard break, so it's about to cut you off. But I want to get your information down so we can have you back on the show. Folks, thank you, Jordan, by the way, for calling in. Folks, thank you for everyone who called in. We greatly appreciate it. We're going up against a really hard commercial break right now, so I just had to wrap up all the calls. In the meantime, though, if you guys haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We have our Black Friday early sale going on right now. Buy one, get one free on all supplements, plus 25% off apparel. That's lasting for a few more hours. So head on over to the store and make sure you buy up now.
Everything we do is the tip of the spear. You are the tip of the spear when you spread the word, when you pray for us, when you buy products. So listen, we have shortfalls, and they're not even that big, but I understand the economy's totally shot. Our audience is as big as it's ever been, and back when the economy was going and we had an audience this big, we'd be in high cotton and I'd be able to expand. Right now, I'm just trying to stay on air. So I need you to make the decision to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and take advantage of the biggest sale ever. Black Friday came early. That's right. Black Friday has come early. We always launch it the weekend after before Black Friday. Be a little different. Black Friday comes early. Mega sale, the biggest sale ever. Buy one, get one free on all supplements. The Irish Sea Moss, the Ultramethylene Blue, the Shilajit, the Bovine Colostrum, and dozens of other amazing products. This is the biggest sale we've ever done. Ends Friday, November 28th. Buy any supplement and get any other supplement for free. Normally, it's buy one bottle of Irish Sea Moss, another bottle of Irish Sea Moss, or buy one bottle of Methylene Blue, another bottle. No, this is add any supplement to your cart and get another supplement free. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together. Don't miss out. This offer ends Friday, November 28th. Visit thealexjonesstore.com today and fuel your body, mind, and power the info war. Take advantage of this amazing deal while supplies last. And here's another little tidbit that makes this a total loss leader when you use it. If you go to alexjonesapp.com and download the Droid or Apple app for free, that are the top apps, just the last few months we launched it, folks at Bigly, the Alex Jones channel, the Alex Jones network, it's the same shopping cart on the app, your desktop or phone, you get an additional 20% off at checkout on top. So everybody should get the app and should definitely use that. But if you want to support us more, get more funds in, then don't use the app and get the additional 20% off. I'm serious. It's like a form of a donation. When I tell you that I need your support, it's absolutely critical. This is the most critical time.
Join me in a couple of moments. We've got a lot to discuss with her. As many of you guys know, she's an incredible journalist over at Rear Clear Politics. She's their national political correspondent. But I wanted to get her to weigh in because I saw she was talking about on X in regards to the report that I broke, as well as Miranda Devine and First Tucker Carlson, about Thomas Crooks and his social media posts. Because, you know, Susan has been one of the great journalists who's been out there going through the Secret Service failures that day. And so it'd be great to get her insight on all of this, because most of us are still scratching our head, like wondering what the heck happened with all the security failures. It's really hard to wrap your mind around the fact that this is all just a conglomerate of failures on an accidental level. So we'll ask her about just that. Plus, there's some other things that she's weighing in on as well that I thought would be very, very interesting to discuss with her. So she'll join us in just a few moments. But I just wanted to give you guys a little bit of an update. We got an alert that the White House just pushed out. President Donald Trump has just spoken with the Chinese President Xi Jinping via phone today, this morning. It's according to the White House. Directly, the conversation included discussions about U.S.-Chinese relations, Taiwan, and Ukraine. Again, that's according to, this is the Chinese Ministry of Foreign Affairs. President Xi Jinping outlined China's principal position on the Taiwan question. He underscored that Taiwan's return to China is something that's never going to happen, and he just kept outlining all of that. So interesting report coming to us now. We'll learn more, I'm sure, over the next few hours. That just happened about 20 minutes ago. The announcement was made, so we'll keep our eye on just that. Also, we'll be keeping our eye on a couple of other stories as well in regards to the war in Ukraine. 60 Minutes had a good piece outlining, sadly, it's just one side of the war, which I don't like, but the Ukrainian side of the war. They talk to those who have lost loved ones in all of this, and I think it's important to highlight the humanitarian issue. You know, according to Russia, Ukraine has lost 1.7 million people in all of this. Again, that's Russian numbers, so we don't know how truthful that is. It doesn't include the loss that they have also received in all of this. It's just devastating all around. This war needs to end. President Trump is pushing for just that, so we'll give you the latest on that front. We'll also be talking about a couple of other things. There was this story that I've been talking about for quite some time now in regard to Tyson Food. Now, they deny using illegal aliens as labor for their food processing facilities, their meat processing facilities. And now they're closing down one of their plants. It's very, very interesting. I'll give you all the details, though, into this, because, you know, President Trump, as many of you guys know, he's calling for the DOJ to investigate beef prices and what's going on there, because we've actually seen beef prices increase rather than go back down. And he believes that there's a couple of key companies out there doing just that, that are ones pushing for all of this. And so we'll detail that for you guys in a bit as well. Also, I've got like a bunch of, I don't even know if we'll make it through all of this, because there were so many stupid sound bites from Democrats over the weekend. So many things to dive into, including like people like Jen Psaki saying that like the media is softballing President Donald Trump. I mean, it's so outrageous, mainly from the fact that if you sat back and watched what happened under the Biden regime years, you know damn well that they were not only softballing questions, but they were forced to hand over their questions to Jen Psaki before the president, the alleged president, came out to take questions. In fact, he was given a little sheet with photos and names and their seat assignments because he was just so gone. Now she wants to criticize the media and how they're treating President Trump. He probably has been the most beaten down president when it comes to the mainstream media and their lies. So again, more nonsense spewing from them. Also, Zohran Mamdani, it's kind of interesting when you look at what he was saying when he was in front of President Trump and how like nice he wanted to sound. Now he's a big tough boy because he's no longer in front of the president of the United States. So he's been doing his media tour on Sunday, and he all of a sudden sounds like he's got a set of cojones that we all know he doesn't have. Because, of course, he's not in front of President Donald Trump. So we'll play those two sound bites for you, because when you listen to them both clearly, you understand that we're dealing with a coward here. So there's much to dive into in just a bit. Do not go anywhere. But a lot to kick off in the third hour of the program. So we'll see you on the flip side in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, make sure you download the app, alexjonesapp.com. If you haven't done it already, make sure you do just that. That's how you stay in touch with us with whatever happens next over at alexjonesapp.com. Download it now so you could be on the receiving end of all of the information that the media doesn't want you to see, of course. We'll be right back.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us today. We've been kicking off the show today. We've led in with the first hour. We're trying to debunk a lot of the nonsense going on, and I think we've done a great job at that, as many of you guys know. I released a report, and it wasn't just me. I had incredible journalists who were also involved in all of this. Miranda Devine and Tucker Carlson releasing a report regarding Thomas Crooks. We got a hold of a document that had detailed very lengthy, all of Thomas Crooks' alleged social media accounts. And specifically, it outlined a lot of the comments that were made on his YouTube page before it was pulled down by YouTube and several other accounts. Now, you know, I've detailed this for you guys as well. And I know Tucker did in his piece as well, Tucker dropping it first, of course. But we all tried to reach out to the FBI for comment before we released our report. And Tucker said that when he reached out to the FBI regarding the YouTube comments that specifically highlight a timeline as to when Thomas Crooks was, in fact, a Trump supporter, to when he significantly changed and he was no longer, it sounded like, a Trump supporter in his YouTube comments, and why the FBI was not reporting any of this information. In fact, the last things we heard was from the former FBI was in regards to Crooks being just a Trump supporter. And that's kind of how they left things hanging. They said he had a very limited amount of social media posts. So when Tucker reached out about it, this FBI said, well, how do you know what you got is true and it's authentic? Now, I've got the same stuff that Tucker got, and I know that it is real. I've asked my experts, of course, to weigh in on all of this, and they all said it was real. And then so I started putting out screenshots that I have. And so did Miranda Devine. And if you're wondering how the FBI responded to all of this, well, unfortunately, even though I asked them for comment beforehand, and they just did not respond, they sent this over to Fox News. The title of it says, Correcting False Media Reporting on Thomas Crooks. Now, again, why would you put this out when we all extended our arm and asked you for comment prior to releasing this? The FBI ignoring us. Well, unfortunately for the FBI, we have screenshots, and there's plenty of them that we did not release. I know I didn't release everything. So I had a really bad feeling that there was something going on here and they were going to try to paint us out to be a bunch of liars. So I want to talk about this because it's a very specific wording in this release that the FBI did. The FBI investigation revealed no direct communication between an individual and then the other individual we talk about extensively, Willie Tepes. Now, Tucker Carlson outlined him to have potential ties to Antifa. According to my sources, that is not true. They believe that they're also speaking to somebody who might actually be Willie specifically, and he's trying to clear the air, so we will hold that out there for now. But ultimately, the FBI saying that there was no, and this is a key word, no direct communication. Now, of course, what does the FBI mean by that? Well, they included screenshots, but those screenshots included in this release that they handed over to Fox News. do not highlight the very, very important screenshots that we have. What am I referring to that? Well, Crooks did reach out to this Willie guy, and he did respond. Now I posted just one of those screenshots that I had Friday evening on X, and Miranda Devine posted two more that she had. So why is the FBI trying their very best to discredit us? Listen, none of us are trying to look for a gotcha moment with the FBI. These are our friends. We endorse them for these positions. We were very excited when they got into the agency. But I'm scratching my head wondering why people who have my phone number, why wouldn't you reach out if you felt like there was some miscommunication or information that we're putting out that was false? Are you trying to discredit us? And then I have to wonder, did FBI even get this? Their leadership even get this? Are there people working behind the scenes to sabotage the credibility between both Kash Patel and Dan Bongino? Well, I've got many questions, unfortunately, that still go unanswered. And as we continue to dig through all of this, I have to say it's very disheartening to see what's been going on right now with the FBI and their efforts to discredit journalists who they once would call me. I mean, Dan Bongino, I still have it on play, called me a very credible and a great journalist and recommended his audience to follow me. That was just days before he left and went into the FBI. So all of this is likely just a miscommunication, possibly. And unfortunately, those involved have not yet responded to our request for comment or even picked up the phone to give us a call. Joining me now to discuss all things related to Thomas Crooks is Susan Crabtree. She is one of the incredible journalists over Real Clear Politics. She's a national political correspondent. She's also the author of Fool's Gold as well, and she joins us now. Susan, I'm excited to have you on the show today. I saw you were talking about this on X. And I wanted to get your take on all of this because, you know, just alone, Miranda Devine has a lot of credibility as a journalist. She's someone who several high-profile officials over at the administration sit down with, and they do these extensive discussions with her on her podcast. And I think it's actually one of the better podcasts, the best podcasts out there right now, because she asks the really good questions. And she's not, like, trying to do a gotcha moment. She's just trying to understand where they're at. And Tucker Carlson obviously giving the FBI a lane to kind of issue credit or issue any type of comment regarding his report before it came out, and they just decided to challenge him on that. What do you make of what we're learning now from the FBI in regards to them releasing these bullet points to Fox News over the week?
Well, first of all, Brianna, thanks so much for having me, and congratulations on the story. I was sort of just shell-shocked by this story. I thought, it's what a bombshell. Tucker Carlson first, and then he, blew the lid off, and then you all blew it off further over the weekend and on Monday. And I was writing on X, that this is something I hoped that Dan and Cash would pursue or were pursuing. So that's why they didn't want to talk about it publicly. But that doesn't seem to be the case after a week now that the story's been out there in various forms. And it's incredibly disheartening to me, because Miranda called me on Saturday. I had already posted about it, and I was getting some blowback, to be quite honest. And as you know, Dan Bongino had me on his show multiple times, recommended me. I thought we had a great relationship over time. Of course I'm going to be a journalist, first, and, I want to make sure I had every hope that, as you did, that we would see reforms out of this FBI, and we have. But this particular issue of Thomas Crooks has been a sort of this weird mystery, and it didn't need to be. I thought that when Dan and Cash came in, we were going to get more information about his social media footprint that the previous administration, Christopher Wray, downplayed as being very small. But we now know it was not small at all. And these YouTube, specifically the comments on YouTube, should have been very obvious to the FBI to go back extensively and look at that, because the T-shirt that Thomas Crooks is wearing when he shot at Donald Trump and killed Corey Comparatore, the rally goer. Sadly, he's wearing a T-shirt that has the emblem, the logo of this site called Demolition Ranch, where it's a YouTube site where he posted these comments. So isn't that true, Brianna? Didn't he post the comments on that particular website? So it's obviously a clue that he cares a lot about that particular YouTube website. It's a firearms website. I mean, this isn't rocket science. It's pretty logical.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you pointed that out, because that's a key element to all of this. And as we're going through the comments too, I mean, the comments from 2019 are extremely violent coming from Crooks. He is sitting there and he's specifically outlining shooting Ilhan Omar and then sending her corpse back to Somalia. Now, that's something that we are strongly, strongly condemn. That is something that should have been looked at. And it's really hard to understand as to how the FBI wouldn't look into all of this, because it's not just one comment. It's several comments that are being made. But you've highlighted the security failures that day. So it's not just the YouTube comments that took place that are just got us scratching our head wondering where was the intervention here. There were several points where the FBI or, I'm sorry, Secret Service could have stepped in. A lot of questionable moves that day. I want to give you like the floor just to highlight the physical that day security failures that happened there in Butler.
Well, we now know, I've written a lot about this, that DEI played a huge role in this issue, and Kimberly Cheadle and Joe Biden prioritized that over security, basic security measures. So they were treating Donald Trump as a former president, not as this guy who broke the mold, who deserved every asset and was facing an Iranian threat among many, many others. So they gave more assets, more high-level assets to a Jill Biden event that was indoors with 400 people that same night in Pittsburgh. And I was the first person to break that story. Mm-hmm. You have three women agents, one of them incredibly inexperienced, Latina lesbian, known for her partying, who was in charge of the Butler security. She had no business being in this position. And I've written about this extensively, but she also had supervisors, okay? Male supervisors that had the experience, and they signed off on the Butler plan without placing an individual on that AGR building. And we can go over it and over it again, but these two supervisors who signed off on the plan and even walked through with the plan got promotions. They got no disciplinary action. I have been less hard on these women, these three women that were in charge of the site, because they were put in a position to fail. Now, all of this had to do with Kimberly Cheadle's DEI priorities over security priorities. So they say at the Secret Service that they're threat-based, but in this instance, they were anything but threat-based. And you can ask me if that was political. I do think that Kimberly Cheadle hated Donald Trump. And I've always said I would go where the story leads. You know, I'm not going to say that she purposely did this, but was it negligence? Absolutely. It was negligence.
Well, she hasn't really been called in front of the American people, I believe, to answer a lot of these key questions. I think it was a closed door congressional update that she gave, but I don't think we've actually seen her on the record. Is that true? Maybe I missed that.
No, she did go on the record with one hearing, and they asked her what was on her phone. Was interestingly enough, when she got this terrible look on her face, had you been communicating with the White House about what you're allowed to say here? Because, you know, she's been talking about this silly business about it was on the roof was sloped. So after that disastrous hearing on the House side, over the weekend, she said she wasn't going to resign after that, but then over the weekend she did resign. And I truly believe it was because, I think it was, one of the congresswomen who asked her, what exactly can you have? Can we have your phone? Do you have signal on your phone? Are you communicating with the White House about this? And she, I think that really rattled her. But it was a disastrous performance in front of the House. I think it was the House Oversight Committee.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's incredible. And I've always had an issue with these officials using signal, even with the new administration. As you know, when we submit FOIA requests, that's the Freedom of Information Act requests, they could sift through emails and get us what we need through the emails, but they have no way of going through signal communications to do just that. And so it does violate the FOIA angle to all of this. And so it's deeply concerning that we still allow it to this day. It shouldn't be allowed by any government official at this point. Plus, we don't even know how truly safe it is. I don't think any of that is really safe. And so I think that's important to highlight. But, you know, you also brought up the, obviously we discussed the Secret Service failures that day and the level of Secret Service that Trump had that day. I also think it's worth noting that they knew that there were active threats against many candidates, regarding just, the level of threats. You know, RFK Jr., I don't know how this wasn't a bigger story. There was a man who was armed and who did show up one of his rallies. And unfortunately, still, Joe Biden refused to give him a Secret Service detail, even though that was unheard of. And so you know, when we sit here and question whether or not any of this was political, I think for sure this has to be political because he never received the right amount of security, any at all. And he was forced to actually cough up security at his own expense to drain his campaign funds, of course. And they left him out there, even knowing that there was active threats against his life. There was an individual who showed up armed, who we still really haven't heard much on that front either. I mean, it's pretty disgusting that this was all happening. Do you see that any of these individuals in the near future with this new administration are going to be held accountable for the Secret Service failures, not only for President Trump, but also for RFK Jr., who was obviously being discriminated against because he was running against Joe Biden?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, he was being discriminated against. And it was outrageous. I mean, this is someone that whose father and an uncle were assassinated.
Yeah.
I mean, this is ridiculous. So it was they were playing favorites the whole time and playing politics with national security, people's threats about getting assassinated. And then they didn't provide the security necessary for Donald Trump. Thank goodness they provided the counter snipers, but it was 2 days late. The counter snipers didn't have enough time to develop their plan. They usually have five days to do it. Mm-hmm. They only had 2 days and the plan was completely botched. It was basic luck. And they let him, Thomas Crooks, you know, have a lot of time on that roof, before. And it was really the local law enforcement that distracted him by climbing up. That's the reason why. I don't think it was, you know, Donald Trump survived, luckily, just barely. And then a lot of his rally goers, the people there supporting him, they could have been, a lot more of them could have been shot too. Thomas Crooks had devices, explosive devices that he did not detonate. They were in the off position in his car. So he wanted mass casualties out of this. And thank goodness he wasn't a professional. This seemed like, according to what we know now, and Dan and Cash are saying he's a lone gunman. You know, I think we just need to, I don't know if they've had enough time and they go into how many people interviewed, if they've personally had enough time to clean up the FBI out of these, you know, Biden holdovers, and also, you know, to really scrutinize whether this investigation was done completely, because I don't get why they didn't tell the American public anything about these other YouTube comments that you've received, Miranda and Tucker received. I just don't understand. I'm very into showing, not telling. As a journalist, that's what you have always been told by my editors. You need to show, not tell your readers, your audience, why they should believe something. And it doesn't seem like, you know, Dan and Cash are taking that to heart. They just want to tell us it was a lone gunman without providing the evidence. Well, now their story's undermined by this new evidence and they're getting all, you know, upset about it. Well, they should have taken the initiative to provide more information about Thomas Crooks from the get-go.
Yeah, and I think we're going to learn more about all of this. You know, if they would have called us and said, hey, listen, like, or the comms team, we don't have to hear from them directly. Like, we're not on our high horses here. If somebody from the comms team would have said, hey, listen, we're still working this. There's a bunch of individuals who were investigating involved in this, and, you know, we're not ready to release this information. Then yeah, we would have maybe had some more restraint, just held back on this, because I think we understand the national security level. But to not respond, to then give a snarky little comment back to Tucker, as if he's somehow not going to be credible enough or be able to verify these comments before bringing them to air and cast doubt on him, I don't think that's okay to do. And I think we're worthy of an explanation. I also don't like, and it's no shade to the reporter, but I don't like that they go to Fox with all of these types of things. So there's very little pushback that goes on then. They just hand them all the talking points and Fox says, exclusive, here we have this, rather than the rebuttal, rather than, I mean, Miranda Devine works for the New York Post. Let's just have Miranda respond before we release those. Let's see what Miranda's got to see if there's any type of maybe missteps here, because it's quite possible that there is. And again, I don't think that Dan and Cash Patel are two bad individuals. I do think that there's an active effort to sabotage them. And I've seen it firsthand, even with the, you know, we talk about the Jeffrey Epstein thing real quick. Remember when Dan came out and they had that interview saying, you guys are going to not believe the footage that you got? He said it on Fox and Friends. We got the footage about from Epstein's cell, the outside of the cell. We're going to release it to you. I don't think he realized that there was a couple of minutes clipped out of that, which, you know, gave him a big slap on the wrist for credibility there. So I do think there's something going on behind the scenes. I'll let you weigh in on that, possibly.
Yeah, I do. I do think there was something weird going on with Senator Johnson's office. He was trying to pursue information from both the FBI and the Secret Service. And he says that the that the FBI was working with him when it comes to Thomas Crooks and information that hasn't been released about Thomas Crooks in the springtime. But then that all stopped in around April, May. He actually had to subpoena the Secret Service for any the disciplinary actions that were being taken against the six individuals that were responsible for the Butler failures. Now, I would put the supervisors in that too, and those two got promotions. One of them is head of the inspections department right now, which is kind of a joke considering, you know, he's a head of investigating discipline, misconduct at the Secret Service. And to me, in my estimation, he was involved in the misconduct. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the Secret Service. Miranda Devine called me on Saturday after she had this big scoop. She was developing it, and she said, you know, did the Secret Service know about Thomas Crooks ahead of time? And I said, you know, I thought they did not know, and that's what was established with the FBI as well. But I called my sources to make sure I called very well-positioned sources, even back into the 2020 timeframe when he had these YouTube posts. Did they know about those YouTube posts? No. I'm being told no. So I think it's an effort to sort of cover their tracks because they did not find him early. And the investigation, could have been avoided if the Secret Service and the FBI had, you know, flagged those, or if someone had flagged those to that these agencies, and they should have been looking, and especially on YouTube. It's such a public open forum. And they were these posts were so, you know, like you said, flagrant in their violence and their politically violent rhetoric. So, you know, what's going on behind the scenes at FBI, I just think they like to control the narrative, and they're a little bit embarrassed that they didn't know about these other comments. But instead, like you said, it used to be old school journalism. Used to be you go to the people that have the information and you provide them. You say, hold off. This is a national security issue. We're going to look into it. We're going to provide you the information. Don't go to your, you know, basically this Brooke Singman is the one who gets all the scoops out of the FBI, mm-hmm. but she didn't break this big story. So you're going to go back to the people that broke it. And work with them because they are the ones that can ask the right questions and have the credibility to, you know, correct the story, work with them. There shouldn't be an adversarial relationship between the FBI and Tucker Carlson, myself and Miranda Devine and yourself. Mm-hmm. We are people that are wanting to see them succeed and believe they will succeed. Same with the Secret Service. But I'm seeing this similar thing going on with Secret Service. They don't like it. When journalists get the information, they want to control the narrative. And certainly I wanted to see reforms out of the Secret Service. And I haven't seen the level of reforms that we've seen from Pete Hegseth at the Secretary of War, certainly when it comes to DEI. And some of the really necessary things need to happen to help recruiting and retention at the Secret Service and protect our continuity of government.
Yeah, and I think it's a top priority. That should be a top priority for all these people right now. And I think it's interesting because while we sit back and we watch, you know, a lot of us, it's easy just to get rid of these people who have been elevated to these positions of power. I mean, a lot of them were doing media interviews, you know, detailing how ultimately there are DEI hires. And so you think you'd sift through that and that'd be your top guys to pick off. Anytime I reach out to the FBI too for comment regarding certain particular people to see if they still have employment with the agency, they tell me they can't comment on personnel matters. So yeah. I want to sit here and tell people like what kind of incredible work they're doing behind the scenes to purge off of these people who are politically driven and got into these positions of power. But unfortunately, you know, we don't have that luxury because they don't want to answer these tough questions. I mean, even in regards to the J6 pipe bomb, we're short on time, unfortunately. But, you know, I reached out for a comment in regards to Steve Baker's report over at The Blaze to see what they would say about this. And they gave me a vague statement saying, I guess, that they're still investigating and they're still looking into it. So, again, it's not a direct response, and it creates more confusion rather than clarity. And that's not why we're all here. So I don't know what more to say about the agency at this point. But Susan, I want to thank you for joining us today. You do an incredible job over on Real Clear Politics, of course, doing the breakdowns that the American people need to see. So we're very thankful for having you on the show today. Folks, give her a follow on X. It is an incredible one. Real Clear Politics is where you can find her reporting. She does a great job at that. Fool's Gold is also her book that you can get right now. It is now available. Thank you for joining me. I appreciate your time as always. More on the way. Don't go anywhere.
I'm making this announcement on Friday, November 21st, 2025. And this is the biggest sale in the history of our sponsor, Bigly, thealexjonesstore.com, with the very best supplements, widest selection of Patriot apparel. Right now, until next Friday, you can get any of the incredible supplements, ultramethylene blue, the Irish sea moss, the Shilajit, the bovine colostrum, and they're all the best, the turmeric, the list goes on and on, where you get one bottle of whatever supplement you want, and then you can pick any other supplement you want. So you can buy a supplement that costs way less than one of the other supplements and get that even more expensive, more, quote, high-end product that has more ingredients free with it. This is a massive deal. And every day we're running flash sales that change each day on top of it. We're doing this because we know a lot of you have been on the fence about the products. You've heard the rave reviews. We know if you use them, you're going to love them. You'll be a repeat customer. So some of these are a lost leader. We're also doing it for the fans that have supported us so much so you get a better deal. But bottom line, we're fundraising right now. The bad guys are very close to shutting down InfoWars. They have the state receiver in. They're setting up an auction sometime the next month. I'll imagine it'll be like the federal auction where they don't let good guys try to bid. I'm not accusing anything wrong yet, but we're just going to see what happens. Let's just say this. I don't have any faith that good guys will keep us on the air to be allowed to bid. So I expect we'll be shut down by the new year. But that's okay because we've got the Alex Jones Network. We've got all these new systems thanks to your support that have been set up and even more being built. But that's why the support is so critical at thealexjonesstore.com, because it doesn't just fund InfoWars, as we fight to stay on here, but the new infrastructure. So it is critical to take action. And again, I don't own thealexjonesstore.com. I don't own the Alex Jones Network. Bigly does. And so I'm just going to work there and be the news director, and we're going to continue on. And they can attack me till the cows come home, but we are going to continue to fight. The only variable of myself and my crew staying in the fight, you will never give up, never back down, never give in. We could give out. Is you supporting us while you get great products at the same time. So now's the time to take action. You see the crescendo of the forces of good versus evil just rising against each other, as it always does historically. We're in this major time of change, the fourth turning. The Democrats are calling for open civil war, saying Trump's a tyrant, telling the military not to follow any of his orders. This is a time we need to stay on the air. Whether it's InfoWars, the Alex Jones Network, you know the coordinates. You share them everywhere. You take the clips. You take the articles. You take the video links. And that will change the world. But to keep us on air, we need the money so we sell you great products that really work. So it's a symbiotic relationship. Just like a good restaurant wants to have good service, high-quality food at reasonable prices. So you want to come back. There's a line out the door. The restaurant with nobody going in it shuts down because they have crappy service. You've just got to come into our restaurant. You just got to come in and try the ultramethylene blue or the sea moss or the other products and see how great it is. That's why we're saying buy one bottle, get any other bottle you want free, and other huge discounts right now at thealexjonesstore.com. This is the most critical moment in InfoWars 28 years. These are great products, so take action now. Action is the essence of victory. That's why we've come so far together. You're the reason the InfoWars has existed. It will continue on despite a URL, because I am the InfoWar. You are the InfoWar. We are the InfoWar. We are telling the truth and taking on their lies and winning. And yeah, they're striking back. And boy, we're in the thick of a big war here, but you can see they're losing. To paraphrase Patton, if you're tired and you're hungry, you've been fighting for days, just know this, the other guy you're fighting is even more tired and more hungry. So punch and fight that much harder in the InfoWar. Take action now. TheAlexJonesStore.com, and God bless you all.
To the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. Oh, it's been a busy, busy Monday morning. We're hoping that you enjoyed the show thus far. We've been digging into the truth on a lot of key issues. Most importantly, digging into the FBI, who decided to, on Friday evening, try to debunk the reporting that not only I did, that Tucker Carlson and Miranda Devine did. And my good friend Ken Silva over at Headline USA just found another very misleading claim that was given over to Fox News. And I wanted to highlight this for you because he put this out in a tweet, and I find it deeply concerning. In this post, Ken Silva says more misinformation about Cash Patel And obviously, Dan Bongino with their Fox interview about Thomas Crooks, they said that every single round was accounted for. But apparently that's not the case. The House Task Force report seems to argue different. It says that one of the bullets Crooks fired was not recovered. Now, that is in the House Task Force report. Something, strangely enough, the FBI didn't know about, apparently, because if you look at the Fox News report, and again, this is why, as you just heard Susan Crabtree say, you talk to reporters that are reporting on this, you probably could have pushed back a little bit and offered a rebuttal, but they didn't do that. And again, they said that they told Fox, episode official, said that every single round was accounted for, is the exact quote on Fox. So more garbage being spewed by the FBI, and it's very unfortunate, of course, because we don't want to be the ones going after these people. But I guess we have to. I guess we have to, holding them accountable regardless of if they're friends or not, is something that you're supposed to do as journalists. And so we'll continue to do just that. But there's also more things we want to dive into that we didn't get to thus far. I want to talk about the 60-minute piece that aired yesterday. Now, unfortunately, they don't do real journalism where you interview both sides and you get both perspectives on an issue. They are angled towards the narrative, and they did just that. But I think it's important to hear, just because I am someone who is all about the preservation of human lives, and watching what's gone on between both Russia and Ukraine has been devastating on both fronts, because so many millions of Ukrainians and Russians have lost their lives in this. We heard that Russia is claiming that 1.7 million Ukrainians have died in this war, and we still don't have an exact number of how many casualties Russia has suffered. But we could only assume that the numbers are through the roof, and it's devastating to see, absolutely devastating to see, because it didn't have to happen in the first place. But I think it's important to hear from the Ukrainian victims in all of this and the devastation that they've had to endure. Many of them are just innocent bystanders who are just walking around and getting, or trying to avoid, missiles heading their way. They're not serving in the military. They are just regular civilians, and this is something they've had to endure. So take a listen to clip 10 as the victims speak out.
I have never seen such a horror in my life. Doval said, lots of people were lying on the pavement. I saw that bus that had burned. Doval told us it was all mud, dust, blood, crying, and bodies. You seem to be saying this isn't war. This is murder. In my opinion, yes. It is just unimaginable to use such powerful, high-precision weapons in the central part of a city. Natalia Terninska told us, they're killing civilians. It's elimination of the Ukrainian nation. They're just wiping our cities off the face of the earth. We interviewed Maxim and Natalia, Tatiana and Lisa, in the conference center destroyed by the first missile. We could see where the warhead crashed through to the basement. The Russians claim they were aiming at a military award ceremony, but prosecutor Vitaly Doval says that doesn't explain how no troops were hit and why two missiles fell on civilians. You have quite a stake in the future of Ukraine, and I wonder, what is your hope? Tatiana told us, I would like the Russians to answer for what they've done. I don't wish death on those people. I want them to learn how it feels to live in fear. I wish Ukraine could see the end of the war. And I want people to be able to live in their own homes. That's it. Near our interview, we found a room where it looked to us like a victim may have fallen. Close by, in the bomb dust on the table, someone had drawn a line. We don't know what they meant, but with so many innocent victims murdered without justice, perhaps the question was why.
Now, obviously, this war has been absolutely devastating to sit back and watch the human lives that have been lost. President Trump still advocating to conclude this war by bringing both sides to the peace table agreement. Ukraine has been pushing back on a lot of this, so we'll continue to watch it as it unravels. But again, folks, President Trump, last we heard, apparently gave Ukraine a deadline of Thanksgiving to turn over and to say whether or not they accept the agreement thus far. Now, we'll continue to watch that, of course, and bring you the very latest as it develops. But man, oh man, do we really have to end this war? It is absolutely going on for too long, and too many lives have been lost, and so many have been destroyed. And it's devastating to sit back and watch. I want to switch gears up a little bit and talk about George Soros and the funded groups that he continues to spew money into because they slapped another lawsuit. This lawsuit has been slapped on DHS for finding illegals who failed to self-deport. A group backed by Soros has brought on this class action lawsuit. It's to prevent Homeland Security from finding illegal aliens who refused to self-deport. The lawsuit was filed on Thursday by two illegals, it sounds like, or just two immigrant women, they say specifically. And the Legal Resource Center. Now, apparently, they've received millions of dollars in annual funding from Soros. That's according to our own report that's up right now over on Infowars.com. And it's done by none other than Raw Egg Nationalist, who will be joining us tomorrow to detail not only this report that he's been working on, but several others. And he's been doing incredible work up to this point. Well, I mean, he's always doing incredible work, but he's been doing incredible work over at Infowars.com. And there's a couple of stories that I actually reached out to him on, and I wanted to come on to detail for you all today. But he will be joining us tomorrow to do just that. All right, let's talk about Tyson Foods. This one's an important one. Tyson Foods is one of the largest meat suppliers, obviously. And, you know, there's been a lot of issues called into question. You know, last year I did a report saying that Tyson Foods was bringing in illegal aliens. They were closing down one plant and then moving that plant or expanding that plant. I believe it was in the New York region where they were able to bring in illegal aliens to work on that plant. Now they since denied it, but I believe it was the Bloomberg also reporting as well. That claim that they were employing non-U.S. citizens to work on that plant. Now, obviously, what does that mean? That means cheaper labor, potentially, really bad work conditions. You can get away with it, of course, because these people do not want to be deported. And so, you know, we all broke this report down. Hopefully that was a Tennessee plant, by the way. They denied it, just so you know, and they're also working with ICE to make sure, this is according to the ICE website, to make sure that those who work over at these Tyson food processing centers are actually valid when it comes to their immigration status and their work papers. But interesting enough, there's a new report out saying that America's largest meat supplier is planning to close one of its largest beef processing centers in Nebraska. And they're claiming this is due to a cattle shortage. And the U.S. Squeezes when it comes to meat packing companies. Now, again, this plant that's in Nebraska that they're closing down has roughly 3,000 people there and can slaughter about 5,000 cattle a day. So this could possibly be a massive, massive issue. Now, Tyson is the biggest four meat packing companies that process 85% of beef in the U.S. And so having this potential closure is very, very concerning. Especially at a time when the White House is trying to crunch down and figure out why beef prices haven't come down, but instead have gone up. This is a question that I've wondered for quite some time now. I know I've spoken to you guys about it. Before on the show, I was giving you my advice when it comes to shopping and trying to find some affordability when it comes to beef prices. And I told you about the rib roast. Most stores right now have it on sale for $7.99 here in Texas, a pound. That is not ideal. It is probably the least expensive route to go through, so it's a good price these days. But I mean, I remember 2-3 years ago, it was probably like $4.99, $3.99 a pound. You were able to get a nice chunk of it for less than $25. And so we've seen the price just completely skyrocket. And so most Americans are deeply upset by this and they want answers. And President Trump has instructed the DOJ to go out there and just specifically outline what's going on here. The antitrust division, Gail Slater, is actually going to be in charge of that. And she is an incredible, incredible woman. So I look forward to seeing what she uncovers because, you know, I've had the honor of interviewing her. I've known her prior to all of this and she's a great person. This is something that she takes very, very seriously. Now we've spoken to obviously cattle ranchers who tell us there's a very limited group of individuals who go out there and they are the ones who are kind of controlling a lot of this. And they need the federal government to intervene on that and give American ranchers an advantage. But although the White House is going out there and they've launched this investigation, it's important to note that President Trump has just lifted the tariffs in regards to Brazilian beef. I reported that on X over the weekend. That is deeply concerning. Why are we lifting tariffs on not only Brazilian beef products, but also coffee was the announcement that was made as well. This happened about 4 days ago. I'm pulling up a story right now. It looks like the president of the United States on Thursday removed 40% tariffs on Brazilian food products, including beef, coffee, and fruits. It was imposed in July to punish Brazil for persecuting Jair Bolsonaro, the former president of Brazil. Now, interesting enough, folks, he has lifted and removed these tariffs, but may I remind you that Bolsonaro was just arrested this weekend. We actually had the story we're going to cover as well for you. Let me bring that up as well. Bolsonaro was supposed to turn himself in a few days, but the very corrupt Supreme Court, had Jair Bolsonaro arrested out of fear that he might flee. So why are we sitting here and lifting the sanctions, the tariffs, I should say, that were imposed, and then sitting back and watching the Brazilian government go out there and arrest Jair Bolsonaro? He did not try to lead a coup. They convict him of that, of course, in the very corrupt Brazilian courts. They don't really have much in way in checks and balances over there. There's no jury of your peers. It is a very corrupt Supreme Court that decides to lock you up if you go against the regime. Obviously, we know the current leader of Brazil is someone with a very dark, dark history. In fact, he has a criminal record. But for some reason, they were able to sit here and to throw him in prison. So now he's been arrested. And he's going to be spending 27 years in prison. I've said it before, I'll keep repeating it. Jair Bolsonaro, the reason why this is so relevant is, number one, there were several people on the ground in Brazil who truly believe that our own CIA was on the ground trying to do its very best to infiltrate the outcome and to affect the outcome of their runoff election. There are many people in Brazil who said that Bolsonaro was threatened to not challenge the election results by our own CIA. Again, our own government obviously not confirming any of that, so we just have that to go on for now. But Bolsonaro is someone who is loved in Brazil. Brazilians love this man. He was seen as the Trump of Brazil. And then the Supreme Court just decided they were going to arrest him and throw him in prison a little bit sooner than expected. So he has been arrested over the weekend. Why are we allowing this to happen? You know, we know President Trump has gone on a call recently with the current leader of Brazil, one who I believe, in my opinion, was installed rather than elected by the Brazilian people. But he wasn't allowed. Bolsonaro wasn't allowed to challenge it. And just for speaking out, well, now he's facing 27 years in prison. Not facing, actually, his sentence. We've talked about it extensively here. I've had Brazilians on this show who are Brazilians who unfortunately cannot go back to their own country anymore because they will also be thrown in prison. Bolsonaro allies who have not been charged with a crime were thrown in jail to shake them up and get them to turn against the former president. We've had their attorneys on the show. So President Trump lifting the 40% tariffs on beef products, coffee, and fruit coming from Brazil into the United States. But folks, he imposed those tariffs because they were going after Bolsonaro, and it hasn't stopped. Bolsonaro, a man who has a lot of health issues, has now officially been arrested. He was arrested over the weekend. That's because the Supreme Court in Brazil ordered him to be arrested because they thought he's going to flee. Now, there's no other way to hold these courts accountable in Brazil. There needs to be a global intervention. Now, we're not calling for boots on the ground. That'd be foolish. But we are calling for maybe don't get rid of those tariffs just yet. So unfortunately, someone who was viewed in a lot of the same similarities that we saw play out with President Trump, they happened to Bolsonaro. You know, Brazil had their own J6, which was fake and cooked up, of course, and meant to throw many of President Bolsonaro's allies in prison for a very long time. That was carried through. No word yet from the White House on Bolsonaro's arrest as of yet, but this is a very important one because, again, folks, this is everything that our government wanted to do to President Trump. It was done to Bolsonaro. And unfortunately for him, he doesn't have a U.S. Constitution that he could challenge a lot of this on. So it's really upsetting. But it looks like Bolsonaro is now going to be spending 27 years in prison unless there is some global pressure to release this great man. Let's bring things here back to the States. Katie Couric and Jen Psaki, obviously not very respectable women, when it comes to having a conversation in regards to political bias, they always pretend like they didn't play a key role in any of this. Speaking more so to Jen Psaki, Jen Psaki is someone who obviously was press secretary under the Biden regime years and sat there and lied to the American people every day. Now, she bowed out, went to her MSNBC gig. But for some reason, she's out here criticizing. You're out here in clip 12. She's criticizing the current media and saying that they're just throwing President Trump softball questions. Take a listen.
That I think doesn't, I think you've probably talked about this because you know well, but I don't think that's enough attention, is the way they're reshaping the people in the press briefing room. More and more of the questions in there are by sycophants, are by people who are not asking about news that the American people cares about, but they're asking about, I mean, literally a question has started more than once. Why is Trump in such good shape? Right. Or they are, you know, putting out conspiracy theories. They're people who, and they are getting a lot of the questions. There are some of the people who are in the press pools. This means that reporters who are there to cover MBS being at the White House or to cover Zelensky being at the White House or to ask these questions that Mary Bruce fortunately asked yesterday, there are fewer of them. And that is, you don't know that and see that unless you've lived there, but that's a huge, huge problem because it's becoming more of a Kremlin-esque press corps.
Right. And they've invited a lot of reporters from very right-wing media outlets. Yeah. And you're right. They usually say, I forget, there was one example, like, did you ever believe that you would be the peacemaker? I mean, just so, and is.
Oh my gosh. The level of hypocrisy off the charts. Both women pretending like they could speak and attest to real quality journalism when the two of them have done none of that. You know, we obviously at the earlier part of the show discussed how Jen Psaki was pushing a false story about Ed Martin being prosecuted by the DOJ. That was garbage. She knows that, though. She continued to go out there and push it on her show, drum up the narrative. Zero evidence, but sat there with a straight face and told her audience that this was real. They're no longer gearing up to go to after Adam Schiff. No, no, no. The efforts have since shifted towards those close to the investigation. Lies. All of them are liars. And to sit here and say that they're welcoming those in the right-wing media. No. You see, this is the problem. All of you activists have been able to infiltrate the corporate media world. And so there's only been one narrative. Now that there's all of a sudden a rebuttal with other journalists who might actually ask the other side of the questions, y'all seem to have a problem with that. But the reality of it is you sat there and you allowed it all to play out. Jen Psaki, the woman who was okay with Joe Biden getting questions in advance so that her comms team could go over there and skim through who they want to call next. Oh, the brain dead president who decided that he needed this. Not only was it a question number one that should be asked, but it was also a name, a pronouncer with a photo. Because he didn't know what he was doing, and you wanted journalists, the corporate media, to cover for the man who literally was brain dead, and had no brain functioning to be able to understand and how to take questions and communicate with journalists. You can say what you want, but the reality of it is President Trump isn't sitting here and asking for the questions in advance. He's easily accessible to those in the media, constantly taking questions. He's not being shuffled by staffers across the lawn to get on Air Force One every day. He's not sitting there with the seat arrangement. No, it's because he's brain dead. Telling him exactly where to go. Say hello. Who needs a card to tell them to say hello? Yes, someone who's not well. And then the rest of us in the right-wing media showed you those images throughout the entire so-called presidency, and we were the conspiracy theorists. The man who has advanced, what, prostate cancer? Is that what it was now? That suddenly sprung. The rest of us were questioning, why the heck is Joe Biden on vacation every week? being shuffled off. The level of hypocrisy would be funny if it wasn't so criminal what they've all done. If it wasn't so criminal. Hey, but if you're looking for a good laugh, let's give it to you. In clip 13, I want to play this for you because Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, who might actually lose her district because the congressional maps in Texas might be approved for the next upcoming election. Now she's considering, oh, I'm going to run for Senate. Listen to this, because she somehow, some way, thinks she could take on Ken Paxton. Listen.
I am still thinking about running. We did get our polling back, so we are moving on to the next phase to determine whether or not this is would make sense in the moment, and if the infrastructure can be built out in the way that I see it being necessary to actually be able to win, as well as we are continuing to look at the polling on the other side. Listen, they are in a civil war right now on the Republican side as it relates to who will become their nominee. You know, John Cornyn has served the state of Texas for decades at this point in time in some capacity. And right now, you know, I don't know if he's MAGA enough to make it through his primary, but we are evaluating all things and seeing what it would look like to put together a team. And we will make a final decision by Thanksgiving on whether or not we're going to ultimately move forward.
What did the polling information that you got back show? I mean, is it a calculation of whether or not you're going to be facing Cornyn, who might have more appeal to moderates in your state, centrists in your state, as opposed to a more MAGA candidate who potentially defeats Cornyn in the primary that you might, or any Democrat might, have a better chance against?
I'll tell you this, that head-to-head, we are doing really well against Paxton.
Yeah. Are you buying what she's selling? I'm not. There's absolutely no way she's doing really well against Ken Paxton head-to-head. The woman is a fool, but she's believing it. So I guess on Thanksgiving, we might actually have something else to be thankful for. If Jasmine Crockett throws her hat into the Senate race, that is an easy landslide victory. Easy landslide victory. The woman has never produced a quality good idea that anyone should take up. She's an absolute disgrace to the state of Texas, and that's the reason why we just completely ran her off the map. We don't need her. No one needs her. She's not a representative. She doesn't represent anyone in Texas. Her values do not align with Texans. And if she's really that bold, throw your hat in the race. Let's see what you got. Ken Paxton is an absolute fighter. He would destroy her if they were to go head to head. Ken Paxton actually having a long, long record of being an attorney who goes out there and fights for Texas. Jasmine Crockett's also an attorney, but does she have a long record? Absolutely not. Jasmine Crockett maybe just clinging on to hopes that election fraud might actually help her out. That's the only way that she has a clear avenue to victory there. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com because we have our Black Friday sale. It's kicking off early. It's buy one, get one free on all supplements. This is the biggest sale we've ever done. And so you're going to head on over to the shop right now and make sure you get your orders in before we run out of supplies, of course, because we just got methylene red back in stock, and so you're going to want to get that while you still can. Plus, it's also 25% off apparel, which I know is something that everyone is looking for these days, especially for Christmas. Time to stock up on all of your favorite items. I know I have, and I highly recommend you do the very same over at thealexjonesstore.com. All right, the Alex Jones Show is kicking off in just a few moments, so do not go anywhere. Alex is up next with plenty of more to expose on the way. I'll see you here again tomorrow.
I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the methylene blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now, like, my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But, yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, it's a lot of help too. And I brought online that's really good for your dog if you give them, like, a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. But, yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experience with this so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear, and we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get, you know, get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight wise too. And so, finding something that works is really important, and not to get hooked on those like high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but, it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.